welcome to another episode of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And we are back again. That's what's up. Go tell a friend. This is episode 110.
Nine. Please tell a friend.
109.
Tell a friend, we need more listeners so bad.
We'll do 110 if you didn't fuck up again.
Yeah, well, Watsy is a big brother, man, you know? So, let's start off with why weren't you here last week, Hot Sauce?
I was on vacation. No, it's
vacation from what?
Simple stuff. From the rest of my work at home. All my jobs that I have.
A break from us?
It was one of those where, so we're going to go on vacation, and I was planning on having a job like months ago to have like this buffer. So I get hired, and then I'm like, hey, by the way, you know, 2 months from now, I'm going to take a few days off, you know?
Right.
And then it got to like 2 weeks before the vacation, and it's like, so if I get a job, do I like take the job because the vacation's already like set? Like, do I guess I have to, but then like all of a sudden, it just like shits all over this prepaid for trip, you know? So it's like, oh, fuck. So, yeah. I went to Yosemite Valley. Yosemite camping stuff, you know. It's full of fucking water. It's like 35 waterfalls. I don't even know. There's probably like a million waterfalls there. It's ridiculous.
You jump on one of those off-trail hot springs and die?
Do they have those? They have hot springs up there?
No, I mean, I think the wrong place.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. If they do, that's great. Yellowstone, I think, has hot springs.
Whatever place you just said, same place, right?
Same place. They're exactly the same.
Yosemite. There's yellow. There's Y in it. I mean, how do you even fault me? There's Y's in both names.
Yeah, anyways, that's just camping there, and then I did Big Sur after that. Big Sur was fucking sweet, though, because our, I didn't really post any pictures yet, but our campground, our campsite was on the fucking beach.
Nice.
Like, it was on hard-packed dirt, but then you just, like, walk away from the campsite, like, 40 feet, and it goes right into sand, right into water, and there's, like, a stream that runs down from, God knows fucking where, wherever you hike at. And it runs down and it goes past each campsite into the water. So it's kind of cool seeing like fresh water go into the ocean.
Nice.
While I was there, I saw humpback whales, saw dolphins, I saw seals, saw snakes, deer, and
jackalopes,
and Bigfoot, and Nessie. And I rode Nessie. Yeah, it was sweet.
To freedom.
Yeah, to freedom. But no, it's cool just to see, like, you wake up and literally you're, like, cooking fucking breakfast or whatever. And then you look out in the ocean and it's like, oh, there's, like, 4 humpback whales out there. That's pretty cool. I guess I'm gonna go back to cooking. You know, it's, like, so ridiculous that it's just fucking right there. All this shit is right there in front of you. Like, seals on the beach right there within, like, 80 feet of me. I'm like, okay, this is pretty sweet. So that was, it was exciting. Anyways, I got hired today, though. I got a fucking job. That's why I wasn't going to be on the cast again. But luckily today was just like paperwork day, and I don't start till Monday.
Sexy.
And it's basically the same job kind of that me and Crow met, where it's like an outdoor working on like transportation, working on like railroad stuff, building like bus stations, fucking trolley stations, street lights, like even like, this is another weird thing. I'm going to be doing stoplights too, like regular in the street fucking stoplights. I don't know, like, anything about that shit. But, like, that's their logo. The logo for the company is, like, a stoplight. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So I guess I'm going to be, like, in a bucket all day, you know? Fucking doing God knows what. It's weird, dude. It's weird
well,
shit.
Well, I think it's putting on streetlights.
What's that?
I said doing God knows what. I'm pretty sure putting on streetlights.
I don't even know, dude. I don't even know how that shit works. I'm not even going to learn. I'm just
gonna
fucking,
know
I'm
going to
get laid off
work.
In, like, 2 weeks, dude.
I just go right through them.
You stop with the green?
I don't. I guess there's, like,
I stop and there's blood.
One of the guys was talking to me, like,
motto of my life.
That if you can program like the it's called like PLCs, if you can like program how the lights do all their business and like when a train goes over the tracks and it like shuts the gates and all that kind of programmable logic shit,
mm-hmm.
If you can do that, you make a fucking killing. I guess there's like not enough of those people in the goddamn universe, basically, where like the company I just got hired at, their one guy got stolen from them, like another company offered him double his salary,
it's just for
to steal him.
It's just for programming.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
you
but
know,
that,
no,
that,
no physical work. Like you just literally, you could like build like little small stuff, but it's more like troubleshooting. The thing is, it's like
connecting motors to different motors and timing systems and triggers of different shit.
It's more just the triggers, not even the motors, but you're on the right path.
But, that's, you know, still shit can line up depending on what you're doing to hook up on motors to have this motor go and this one goes off, this other one can turns on, this one goes off.
Right now I'm in the position where I build that stuff, but I don't do any of the programming of it. Like, that's all. The thing is, it's like super crazy responsibility because it's like life or death.
Yeah.
That's why.
Circuit one?
Yeah, circuit one. I'm going to circuit one the fuck out of car crashes. And train's going to just like be on the same rail at the same time. Fucking pedestrians dead everywhere. So that's the kind of shit that like it's super high fucking priority type stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, honestly, dude, you should really get into that because that's right up your alley. You like to sit on your ass, not to move around too much. And do things, you know, intricate.
Dude, who doesn't? Everyone has
to. I'm not giving shit. I'm saying, like, that is the way to go.
I think everyone should
get like, if I had stuck with that industry, that's what I was going to go
so,
to.
There's one. So, yeah, so I'm like, okay, well, I got to figure out how the fuck to do that. There's, like, classes you got to take and whatever else. And I don't really know the structure yet, but I'm like, if that's literally what it is, where, like, to get another guy, this company I'm at right now, they just have to, like, also raise their salary to find somebody. They just have to, like, go scouting and be like, hey, you know, we'll pay you this if you come by, and they're like, oh, I already make that. Well, we'll pay you more then. Like, it's one of those jobs where it's just so scarce. And the guy, I remember when we were working together, there was a guy that worked for the company I was previously working for.
Yeah.
And he was this dude from, like, I don't even know, South Dakota or whatever the fuck. And he would just fly around the country because he was in such demand.
Jesus.
Like, it was just, it wouldn't even be like, oh, my city needs me. It's like, he came to San Diego. Yeah.
He's a superhero.
He'd come down to San Diego for, like, a day every 2 weeks and just check in with us and make sure everything's good and then fucking leave. And that would be like his job.
Fucking
full man. Fucking, you know, I went to his hotel. Like, it was, they get him like downtown, like nice place. We went out to dinner once. We went fucking Little Italy, which is like nice ass dining for San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this, what is going on here? And the guy looks like
a goat fucker.
He looks like a goat fucker. That's exactly what I want to say.
Hey, when you have that much money.
Yeah, it's super funny.
You get tired, the horrors become tiring.
Yeah,
and you're like, what else? What else can I conquer?
Trannies.
Yeah. It's goats. Yep. Yeah. So anyone out there, get into that programmable logic controller stuff. Anyways, right now I'm going to be like just digging ditches. I don't fucking know what the hell I'm doing. I know I'm literally not going to be doing that because like I'm going to be one of two people at the company that seems like that's like certified electrician. Everyone else is kind of like, they know what they need to know, but they're not certified in anything, so they, like, do the grunt work, which I'll be doing some of, I'm sure. But then when it comes down to, like, the final touch, like, they can't do that stuff because they just don't have the schooling and whatever else. So good thing for just me and, you know, us regular electricians, basically, you get to have a upper spot at a company, which is cool. Because normally it's just you're all the same.
Right.
And now there's going to be, like, you know, 90% of this other type of worker.
They added a lower tier.
They did. They literally did, too. Like, they didn't have that. Before, our union just didn't even support that kind of worker. But then there was, like, so much work that we weren't getting. They're like, fuck it. We'll just, like, add you to the union and just give you, like, 70% of our pay. And we'll fucking figure it out. I mean, more work for the union is more work for the union. No matter what pay it is or how much work and whatever. Just anything that's more is good. So, anyways. Yeah. I'll be working in fucking Lakeside.
Oh.
Like,
beautiful.
Right there.
We're going to be working in the same city.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like,
amazing.
Well, yours is right off there. In the hills.
Yeah, I'm not in the hills. People got to.
I'd rather be off in the hills than in the on the street in the city.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like in like the.
Well, he's gonna have views of like meth heads. And
yeah, I see like
old ladies giving dudes gummers.
I see horses and deer and snakes, and you're seeing like
you'll be seeing different kind of
rodeo.
That 7-Eleven, right? So they have a rodeo. That's how you know what kind of town that is.
And like San Diego shouldn't even have a rodeo. Like even though it's not. You know, in like central fucking metropolitan fucking San Diego, it's more like outskirts. It's still San Diego County. Why the fuck do we have a rodeo here?
Yeah, that town is just a shit show. And that 7-Eleven right across the street from the rodeo, just like junkies all day long.
Dude, I was looking to buy there because it was so cheap. I didn't.
There's a reason.
I literally didn't even go check anything out. I was just thinking like in my head, like, all right, just the it's just like moving to another state where it's like, the value, you know, like what you can get for the price. Maybe I should just look into this. And I was seeing like the insides of the homes are like so, you know, fully remodeled and whatever else. And then I'm like, all right, well, let's be sure here. Go to Google Maps, go to like the street view shit, just look around the neighborhood or whatever, and it's like, nope.
Let's see the crime report. Oh my god, it's all red.
Yeah, it's all red. Everyone's a child molester. Everyone. Holy crap. They can't even have a school because there's nothing but 200 feet fucking.
They have to export the children to other cities.
It's a rule. If you live there, you really can't have kids. You have a kid.
Like, oh, that's a good rule.
You should
that's,
have kids.
That's a good rule for that.
Like, if you're like pregnant and you find out you're pregnant, you have 30 days to tell the city that you are pregnant, and they will fucking
abort
give you
it for
money
free.
To get you the fuck out of there.
They take you back and shoot you. Or at least that's what they should do.
That's Chinese.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, it's really funny because we live like right next door to that city, so it's not too.
But it's
far.
So different, though. It's so weird.
It's literally like day.
Well, that's where the bros are, you know, maintained.
It's not even bros. It's
I know, like, but that's like where they stem from and they spread out.
Super hick, fucking big old American flag, like. Off the back of the pickup truck and like
it's
shit like
it's
that.
Like saying that like Lemon Grove is like Balboa Park. They're like right next to each other, but they're not anything. They're not even fucking close to the same place. You know,
Balboa Park, lots of nice museums,
super nice area.
Lemon Grove, lots of nice drugs.
Yeah, oh my, like any. It's one of those places where like every liquor store has like barred windows and just like the
liquor
same
store, gun store, liquor store.
Pawn shop, check cashing.
They have like the big posters of like all the value beers or whatever else that they've never changed. It's just like they just stick new ones on top of it and half of them are fucking torn to shreds. You can imagine the place.
That's where they invented Milwaukee Ice, by
they
the
did.
Way,
they
in
did.
Case anybody was wondering.
Natty Ice?
No, well, any of them. Remember? We were talking about combining
the two
shitty beers.
Yeah.
When you have some leftovers Milwaukee's, but then you're like, I gotta get some Bud Ice because it's all I can afford right now. But
it's
I want
not even Bud Ice, bro. I'm talking about natty
Bud
ice.
Is still disgusting.
Natural ice, Milwaukee's best.
Yeah. Anyways, fucking went on vacation, got a job. Everything's good here now. Thank you. How are you? No, it's been good. Other than that kind of shit, I haven't like, I don't have anything to fucking tell. I haven't been doing anything totally hilarious and crazy. I did see the movie Get Out. And it's awesome, and you should probably go see it. It's not a perfect movie, but if you like it's kind of like I would say it's like a thriller. Basically, it has like a lot of genres kind of in one. But overall, it's like you feel uneasy the whole movie watching it. You know, where it's not like jump scares. It's just something's always off in the movie, so you always feel like something's gonna happen. There's always creepy fucking faces in it, and you feel uneasy. But it's really well done, and it's by that fucking Key and Peele dude. the shorter one.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but either way, he's the director of it.
It's just like
it's
Keenan
fucking
and Kel. Like, I never remember which one's which.
Yeah, but there's always a shorter fat one and a taller lankier one. Like, every fucking every
fairs,
duo,
huh?
You know?
Every African-American
like,
duo?
Every like race. Yeah.
Silent Bob and Jay. I mean.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Oh, there you go.
And they're both black, too, so.
Yeah. Black on the inside.
Black on the inside. They want to be black. Okay, so here's the thing. What are you guys' favorite things that you've found on the interwebs? For example, G.I. Joe PSAs. This is kind of the realm I'm thinking of. Like, you'll find a set of videos or a website or a thing that was only on the internet, basically, and it was just like your jam. Like, it's, you know, you'll still watch it today and be like, oh my God, this is so great.
So are we talking like the history of us going on the internet or just like
basically,
recently?
Yeah, it's not going to be like, oh, when I was 12, I discovered porn. Like, oh great, that is fantastic.
Yeah, everyone likes porn, you're not special.
Yeah, but no, like what, like another example, Homestar Runner.
Okay.
Homestar Runner was like my jam. It was your jam too, right?
Yeah.
For like 2-3 years, Homestar Runner was the best website on the internet, and then it's just like such an innocent humor to it. Like, it's witty, but it's so innocent and not just like, it's not like Happy Tree Friends or all the other shit. I don't know who the fuck out there listening to this recognizes this stuff, but that's like, you're doing weird shit for the sake of being weird shit, like kind of like Adult Swim-ish.
Right.
But Homestar Runner was like, just smart enough, you know, just smart enough to sell some fucking t-shirts.
So I'm gonna go over some real common ones right now that if you're anywhere near our age and you liked browsing the internet, everyone will know these. Yeah, yeah. So basically, like the G.I. Joe PSAs were great.
Yeah, and I still like watch them twice a year probably. I just go run through all of them and have a chuckle, you know. It's so great.
Homestar Runner, great. And then these two websites that were very prominent, I think, in both of our humor and cultural upbringing. One was Newgrounds.
Newgrounds is great. A lot of games. A lot of fun stuff on there.
And then the other one, which is escaping me. What's the other one that's like Newgrounds? E-Bombs World.
E-Bombs World.
E-Bombs World. I'm going to go off because back when it first started coming out, nobody knew about this. And I was actually thinking this the other day. Red versus Blue. When Red versus Blue first started coming out, they would release like, what, like 3 minute, 4 minute clips at a time?
Yeah. Some of them would be like 5 or 6 sometimes, but mostly they'd be like 3 or 4.
Yeah. It wasn't full episodes. It wasn't a full season. It was like
just a snippet.
Just a little snippet, and you'd wait like so long just to see the next snippet.
And it was like, pre-YouTube, so you had to like download it off a torrent or whatever.
You had to go to their website, actually. Like, this is...
It's redversusblue.com back in the day, yeah.
I watch this on Netflix now, and I can watch it anytime I want. And when I was watching it, I was like, oh my god, I remember having to like wait like every couple weeks for them to come out with another little 3 minute thing. And now I can
and we did that for like 3 seasons.
Yeah, and now I can just watch it on Netflix whenever I want.
That was a great one, though.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I'm a fan of Rooster Teeth, so like Red vs. Blue, especially when we were, you know, late teenager, that's just great humor.
Well, also during that time, they were one of the prominent ones who were using like actual video game footage.
Machinima.
Machinima to make a web series out of. It got really popular.
And now it's a whole genre, but it wasn't, of course. This was like totally
I felt unique. Like that was they were the flag bearers for that
genre. For sure. And, which obviously this doesn't matter, but it is the longest running web series still in existence.
So for those who don't know, Red vs. Blue is
14 years
now. A show based off actual Halo footage. So they went in, I forget how they exactly did it, but they just went into kind of like multiplayer mode, local area, you know, and just recorded stuff like that.
They've always had where you can always use like the camera in the game to move around, even since like Halo 1 or 2.
Right.
And that's what they would do. So they'd just have like, yeah, it'd be like a multiplayer match, whatever, but then like I think you can do like where you can like build your own world or some extra thing like that, and you can use the camera and go around. And so it was like, obviously they didn't have any like in-game recording. That didn't exist yet. There wasn't hard drives and shit really, except for like save games and music.
So they just had to do
capture cards and whatever else. And that shit was like, I'm sure, way expensive back in the day because they probably sold like one a month because nobody fucking recorded video games. That wasn't a thing in 2003.
It was like 2002, 2003, something like
YouTube,
that.
Like YouTube, like the Let's Play kind of thing where like you watch people play games. That's like 2007 on, probably, or something like that. It's not something that happened in the early 2000s or 90s.
Yeah.
It might have, like, literally happened, but it wasn't a thing. It wasn't a big thing.
I'm going to throw one more out because this was very funny for a short amount of time, but it's always had a lasting impression on me, is that website about pirates versus ninjas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was just this very, very silly. It seemed like, you know, some kid like us just wrote this webpage, and it was probably like a dude like us, but he was writing as if he was like a 9-year-old talking about like ninjas.
Yeah, it was
and
all
pirates.
Like super fictional, like far out there shit.
And like
yeah.
what's the pros and cons between them, and how one's better than the other? And then he would just write about like some random ass shit, like stuff that pirates and ninjas cannot do. But he'd just make up these fantastical like scenarios.
It's definitely like what they do now on YouTube. You know, almost like you see like the rap battles and shit like that where they get like two famous historic people or whatever. It's like, it kind of feels like something like that, but of course just 10 years before it, you know what I mean?
And like
it has that kind of sense of humor to it.
And that was just a pure like text, you know, based thing. And maybe there was like a little picture of a ninja or something.
Or you know what it reminds me of now? Like the oatmeal. The oatmeal's funny.
Oatmeal?
You know what I mean by the oatmeal?
No.
It's comic strips?
No.
They have Exploding Kittens.
Okay.
That game, that's their game.
Okay.
So it's like they have this wacky sense of humor to it, and anyways, that's kind of how their shit's all just comics online, and now they have like games and stuff, but they didn't have that.
Okay.
So anyways, that's kind of what it was.
Yeah, and I mean like that, I felt like that was a very underground sensation. Then like later on, it popped up in popular culture, like you know, like in World of Warcraft, there's a big, like, pirates sort of thing, and in other games there'll be like ninjas, like a special class, or you know, you can dress up as a ninja or something. Anyways, I just always thought that website in particular was funny because it was literal. You're just reading
and just laughing to text.
Yeah, like laughing to text. Like, when that's such old school. Like, who just like reads a comic, like not comic, but like a book, a comedy book. Like, oh, this is very humorous. I think I'll go to the next chapter.
Okay.
Like, nobody does that.
There's something else. This is not off topic, but I'm reading. So I finished a book while I was on vacation or whatever. So I started a new one, and I read like weird books. I don't read like traditional, like, you know, trilogies and stuff like that. I just read like, I don't even know what. So right now I'm reading the memoir of Norm MacDonald.
Okay.
And Jesus. It is written like, it's supposed to be like kind of, you know, sort of talking about his life. But it's told in a way that, like, is its own, it's like its own fictional story. He's telling things that are like stories of his life, but then he keeps going to this other stuff, and it's like not believable because it's just so. It's like, is this really what happened in his life, or is this just like the dumbest story I've ever heard? And I think it's what it seems like is a combination of both, where some of it's real, some of it's not. So the book is really, really fucking funny. Nice. It's just like, it's kind of outrageous, and they have. He has Louis C.K. in the book, like he writes in the book too, and then they have it where he's not physically typing out all the words. It's just like the publisher gave him a dude for like a 12-month period or whatever, and he would like meet up with Norm MacDonald, and Norm MacDonald would talk, and he would just like put it into words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he would do the final edit, and it would be his words. But anyways, so they have him talk freely in it, which I'm pretty sure is like not real. Like it might just be like Norm MacDonald talking also, but talking in, you know, in what he would say. So he's talking shit about Norm MacDonald. Like, this is the worst job I've ever had and all this stuff. It's really, really fucking funny. So anyways, I was reading it on the beach and just like cracking up, but I can't show people because it takes the whole book to like get to a point.
Right.
I can't be like, oh, look at this one line. I'll tell you one thing though, is that chapter five, 8 years old to 13 years old. That's like the title of the chapter or whatever, because it kind of started out from his birth and then whatever. It says, I forget. And then it goes to the next page. It's like the perfect book for me. I just like that stupid shit. It just has that I and like the big, tall, bolded, you know, beginning of the chapter thing. And then it just says forget. And then it moves on to the next page. It's fucking, the humor is just like dry as shit, but it's exactly what I want. You know, I love Norm MacDonald. He's so nice. Fucking funny.
So what do you guys got for
anyways,
the,
what do you got,
Crow?
Sorry.
Internet-wise, during that whole time period where you guys were really talking about it, really getting into internet stuff, like, yeah, I watched videos here and there, but I wasn't as into it as you guys were, really, like, digging
like,
deep and finding
like
the funnier shit.
You like drugs.
No, not at that time. I was too young for that. I didn't
hey,
get
man,
drugs
those two things go together perfectly.
Also, yeah, well, you're never too young for drugs. So, like, well, that's already a wrong statement.
Okay. Yeah. whatever. Anyway, so...
Believe in yourself, kids.
Yeah.
For me, like, I always watch some funny things. Something really stuck with me, because, you know, you guys were out inside, you know, hanging out, doing drugs, apparently, and watching these videos.
I mean, yeah, we were.
I was yeah, more correct. Playing sports all day long, and then having, you know, my house with the house, all their friends.
Well, we did that, too. We just...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Alcohol.
For me, it was playing sports all day long. Then at night, my friends would spend the night. So like, then we play video games all night long. So we didn't really get into watching too many, you know, YouTube videos.
Video
and
games,
shit.
Quote unquote.
Starcraft parties, dude.
That's what he calls it when he didn't know what
Super
was.
Mario Sluggers.
There you go. Parties. What up, LAN parties? Bring over your fucking desktops and your big
Warcraft
CRT
before
monitors.
It had to be online. Yeah,
nobody had flat screens yet. We gotta bring over CRTs.
But the one video that's always stuck with me that I always found fucking hilarious that to this day, like, you know, once a year or every now and then I'll think of it and I'll pop and watch it, is that end of the world video. With the fucking dude just narrating how the world's gonna end with the nukes and fire lady missiles.
First, have a nap. As if I see missiles.
Motherland.
Yeah. What? That's what I'm saying. This is exactly like the kind of content I'm thinking of.
It's a minute and a half long. You want to listen to it?
Well, what's the creators of that? Because they've done a couple other videos.
It is
albino black sheep.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Because they did.
That's a website too. I think
they did 55. 55, didn't they do?
No,
this?
They didn't do 55.
That's not 55.
Nope, that's not. Okay. Same era though.
Same era.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Those guys. That was I don't remember the group, but it was like a group. It was something group. X group.
Or
group X. Group X. It's group X. Yeah. Anyways, that was a good one too.
Also in that same genre was the retarded animal babies, which was a play on the Happy Tree Friends, but this was like horribly crude just like there's these cute little animals.
But they have like dicks and stuff.
Yeah,
and
raping and doing drugs and like all this shit.
Yeah, it was very Adult Swim before Adult Swim.
I just remember,
but also rated R because you can't really show too much.
I remember the Sean Connery episode was just amazing. It was like episode 17, 18, something like that. If you can go find it, Retarded Animal Babies. I'm pretty sure that was on Newgrounds.
Yeah, I think it was on Newgrounds. Yeah.
But
I don't think E-Bomb's rules a little too clean. Right. Newgrounds was like, anything goes, baby. Yeah. We don't care. We don't give a fuck.
Or This Is What You Wanted.
I don't know that.
It's like the little mashup of, you know, like the Mortal Kombat guy is doing the uppercut and then it hits a dick.
Oh, yeah, dick yeah. You showed that, yeah. I mean, I remember seeing it back in the day, but yeah, it's just nothing but dicks. It's nothing but dicks.
And then it has like the meaty.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, what about, I mean, as a modern one, for me, fucking Too Many Cooks, dude.
Yeah.
Too Many Cooks. Yeah. I know it was on Adult Swim, but like really, it's an internet thing. Too Many Cooks is fucking fantastic. I still watch it. I love it. I love showing people it. And their faces are just like, but what am I watching? Like, what's going to happen? And it's like, nothing's going to happen.
It's one of those.
You just fucking watch it and accept
it.
It's one of those videos, like, the first time you watch it, you're like, that was fucking stupid and annoying. Like, what the fuck is going on? And then you watch the second time, you realize, holy crap, this is amazingly fucking hilarious.
I think it's the same.
I love Too Many Cooks
so
much.
It's like the same genre of, like, the big orange head joke type of thing, to where, like, it's one of those, they got me, and that's fucking hilarious. But the thing with the Too Many Cooks is, like, there was, like, very smart, you know, things in it, like where the words became the people and the people became the words, and like little stuff like that. It's like, who fucking thinks that's fucking
people on drugs?
Yeah, so
the best people.
Yeah, drugs are
that's
great.
The best music comes from drugs, dude. Whatever, yeah. It's great. It's fantastic.
Drugs are amazing.
Okay, what else? A couple other things. Let's
you guys
want to
do some drugs?
Oh, I love drugs.
I'm down. You know I'm down. But I like the white lady stuff.
What about, have you seen Terry Tate, Office Linebacker?
Yeah. Yes, that was fucking great, too.
That's like a Reebok commercial, but like I don't even know if it's real or not. I don't even know if Reebok made it. Like, I have no idea. It's clean, but it's still just like so fucking outrageous.
Really good.
It's like the Old Spice guy before Old Spice had him, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like some ridiculous shit.
I showed someone the other day the Nutri-Grain commercial.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's so good.
Every time.
If you guys, if anybody
okay, one video from today to watch,
the
I think.
Nutri-Grain?
I think if you haven't seen, Too Many Cooks is my personal pick, but I'd say number two, for if you got a little bit of time to watch something, just watch a Nutri-Grain commercial from like 2003 or something like that.
Yeah, just
YouTube. Type in Nutri-Grain commercial. It'll be the first one.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid. Oh, my God.
It's so good, though.
It's so good. Don't give it away. Just don't even give it away. Anyways, I wanted to just mention that. I was thinking about it when I was on vacation. Like, man, what fucking gems have I found in my day? Because there's some shit that just, like, never gets old and is so fantastic.
I feel like a lot of the things that are funny like that now are more like almost music videos, like the Lonely Island guys or Too Many Cooks.
That is like, internet for TV.
Too Many Cooks goes beyond just being a song, but I mean, like, it's very song-oriented, where, like, back in the day it was a lot more text or GIFs or flash animation, stuff like that. Mm. So.
And don't anybody ever fucking mention the goddamn hamster dance video. Let's not go there.
Yeah, if you like that, turn off this podcast.
Okay, so I want to tell everybody, though, I would like people to fucking get on Facebook or Twitter, and the shit we haven't mentioned yet, send us a link or tell us what you thought was fucking good back in the day, because I would love to see some shit I missed 10 years ago that would give me a chuckle now, because I bet you there's some real gold that we haven't seen yet. You know, internet's a big place. Can't see it all.
Yep.
Give me some shit, guys. Come on. Literally poop. Anyways, someone else take it over, huh?
What you got, Crow?
Mine was short. Didn't do a whole lot this past week. A lot of Magic Duels came out with Elmon Ket, and right now I don't have money to buy the actual cards, so that's my venue to play it. So I've been playing, you know, grinding that and playing those cards. I did start playing on the Xbox just because it's easier than the computer, and I can sit back a little more relaxed. So I've been having to regrind and play shitty-ass decks, so it's a little more annoying to fucking do it. Other than that, so yesterday was May 4th, so I had a good time with my son and had to take him into school. and I had my first order TIE Fighter pilot helmet. Nice. So I walked into school wearing that and took him into school and everything like that. All the kids all happy and teachers going, oh, I love it.
It's pretty dope.
So it was,
like,
a good time.
That's my dad.
Yeah, yeah. So he was running around going, I'm Kylo Ren. My dad's Darth Vader. So it was a good time.
That's pretty sick. Did he have a mask?
He was going to school.
Bad father.
Really, though, I haven't done really shit. Just same old, same old. I retweaked my Grixis deck to be not Grixis Delver, to be Grixis Control now, and it's a lot more
it's
tuned and fun
to play. Like, it's kind of... None of the cards will be a surprise, except for, like, some maybe a couple fun things. For, like, yeah, that could belong in a Grixis Control deck, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it is different than, like, other lists you've seen. Different, you know, number of cards and just a couple choices you made that are different. But it is going to be, you know, Thought Scours, Serum Visions, Cryptic Commands, and Tassigers, you know, stuff that's just going to be fucking good as hell. It's kind of like you're building Jund. It's like you got a pool to play with, and you just pick which ones you want. And sometimes you don't play fucking Tarmogoyfs or don't play Grim Flayers or whatever, but because you want to play more removal or you want to play fucking whatever. You know what I mean? There's little things you can pick and choose.
It is definitely one of my least brewed decks I've ever made, because it is a Grixis Control deck, and it is very linear in a sense of what you're going to be choosing from. It's just, and that's different from what I usually do. It's just from when I first started playing Magic, my first two goals of what cards I wanted to collect of money cards were a playset of Liliana and a playset of Snapcaster. And basically, this was the end game to get.
Yeah, there. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a dope deck. I think it's a fun deck. I don't think it gets very boring playing that kind of mid-range tempo-y strategy. I think they're always fun. You know, maybe I could get bored of, you know, Burn or Affinity a little bit because there's just kind of not quite
linear
much interaction, you know what I mean? But I think the mid-range decks are always fun. Even Abzan is like feels the same to me, too. I really like just like using Kitchen Finks and Collected Company, all that shit. I think that's another one that's still fun.
Yeah, it has interaction. Like right now, you know? I'm playing more of reactive control where I have counters and that kind of deal and kill spells. Where the next iteration where I'll, you know, tweak back and forth to what I want to do, the next iteration is going to be more of a proactive control where I'm attacking their hand with, you know, Thoughtseize and Inquisition and things like that. And the other thing, I do have a spicy brew for the Grixis deck I'm working on, because through watching different videos and different playlists I was looking into, I came across a couple different lists, and one involving Fevered Visions, and one was a Grixis Waste Knot deck. And I'm like, well, in my head, I love Waste Knot, which you know, and I also love Fevered Visions. So I plan on building a brew around between Waste Knot and Fevered Visions. That's going to be attacking your hand, getting you more cards to then upkeep, Funeral Charm them away, and things like that. And so I mean, it may be shit. It probably will be shit.
The only problem is that you're giving him more cards while trying to take more cards away.
Yes, understood.
Which might work out, but it might not. You know, that's the biggest problem with it.
Well,
if
you're not going the rack route,
then
giving him more cards is okay, because the power comes out of Waste Knot, where you want them to discard, continually discarding, whereas the rack version just wants you to discard till you have none. So yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. It's just like we did with that only, fucking demon back in the day.
The only problem is that
Master of the Feast.
Yeah.
Only problem is that it could be more if you wanted to do it where you just give everyone cards, it would be more like a Howling Mine type thing rather than playing it, because they're not going to probably ever hit the 2 damage to their face.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just a fan of Fear Vision.
I get it.
That's
I'm
the
saying
card
that,
I'm
that
because
to counter you know, what he was saying is about that it does work. It's like, yes, but you're not getting the full benefit of playing being able to cast something like that. You could just play, like I said, Howling Mine, and then it's colorless, so you're not screwed on mana, and it does like the same thing.
You know, if you're facing off against a burn deck, you side it out. If you're facing off against a control deck, you bring
there
in the
is.
Fucking.
That's the thing. Is the control is going to have the counter spell, is going to have the draw spell, is going to have its ways to interact with that, so there is chances that the 2 damage will come across.
I still think that it'll work. I'm just trying to get like the points out.
Yeah, for sure. It may be complete shit, but I'm going to turn my hand in it because I love those couple cards.
It'll work sometimes and feel good, if it's not good. So.
Yeah. You know, it's going to play, I'm going to throw, like, I had that Waste Knot Storm deck, and the problem with that was it's Storm. You guys want to play against it very much, and it's so like, that was just fine. I don't blame you guys for that at all. And it also, Storm is very difficult to learn how to play correctly. And then I only played it a handful of times before you guys were like, hey, that's enough. So now I get the chance to play this.
That's enough. No more me twiddling my thumbs looking at my phone. I want to be looking at your face, your beautiful face.
So I'll be able to play multiple spells from that deck, though, in this, because, like, I'm going to blink on the name. For one, a single red, each player draws 3 cards and discards 3 cards at random.
Yeah, that card's dope.
So between that and the miracle card for when you miracle it for a single red, each player draws or discards their hand and draws seven cards.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it's just a build around between like from there. I want the Fear Visions to give cards to their hands. That way, I can just get rid of all of them
right.
and get more triggers on the shit. So I mean, it's a baseline. So it's kind of already semi built in a shell for me in my head. Now it becomes tweaking the numbers and seeing what kind of fun deck I can make out of it.
Word.
So yeah, that's pretty much my week.
Tell us about Grixis teasing and devastating week.
Ooh, well,
now first go with the sleeves.
First go with the sleeves. I'll lead off with the sleeves. So Hot Sauce a couple weeks ago recommended some sleeves for us. He had two different brands he was recommending. He said, "Hey, these KMC premium fucking matte." Is that the one?
Hypermats
premium. Hey man, they show the foils beautifully.
They're the best. You can't go wrong. I put my life's reputation on this fucking sleeve.
I still do.
And so I was like,
cut my dick off if I'm wrong. He said it, I heard him.
So I said, all right, you know, I'll give it a shot. Ordered them. They came in. The whole reason I bought them is because I wanted to sleeve up, you know, one of my foiliest commander decks. And my God, you cannot tell those fucking cards are foil.
It looks worse than like a regular penny sleeve shit nothingness. It like downgrades the foil to like they look like it's not a foil card anymore.
Yeah. So we were talking, and I think KMC got bought out a while ago or something. So we were thinking that maybe he got the post or the pre buyout, and I got the post buyout.
Yeah, I showed him the cards. Like even today, I'm like these ones like are completely clear in the front. It says matte, but I think it's more like the texture of the back of the card.
That's the matte part.
Yeah. So, they look like brilliant. That's why I use them for my most expensive foiled out deck that I own. And then, yeah, I bought them at our local store. I didn't buy them online.
Right.
But either way, I just, you know, I guess, like I said, it must be old product or something. So now, Knife is super mad at me, and he, like, I'm never going to come over, and I'm probably off the podcast. I'll start my own. It'll be much better. Much funnier.
It was just good. Like, he came back from, like, 2 weeks of being gone. He didn't see him beforehand. Didn't hit cast. He went on vacation. Comes back to us just berating him for, like, a half hour as he comes back in.
And that's great. And so these sleeves came in a couple days ago. And so before the cast, me and Crow went down to our local shop, and lo and behold, they had the other brand of sleeves that Hot Sauce had recommended, the...
Eclipse, Ultra Pro Eclipse.
Ultra Pro Eclipse.
The new bee's knees everybody's talking about.
Yeah, so I was like, well, since those other ones are a fucking failure, I'll pick up these, and I'll be happy with these. Yeah, they don't show the foil. Like, regular fucking Ultra Pro, just regular-ass fucking matte sleeves.
But I also told you that they didn't... I wouldn't buy them for foil decks. I already told you that. I said that they're the best sleeves.
You said they weren't bad.
Yeah, they weren't bad for foils.
They are bad for foils. Okay. Anyways, so, yeah,
The one thing about the Eclipses, though, is, like, they do feel great. They have a different, like, a little bit thickerness to them. Like, right. They feel like they're quality sleeves.
They do
feel... They just didn't look like...
Like I said, opinions are opinions, but I've never... own sleeves that are better quality than these Eclipse sleeves. Like, they are the bee's knees. But like I said,
sponsored by Ultra Pro.
I wouldn't use them for my foils, though. And now I don't know how I'm gonna... Now I gotta figure out how I'm gonna... If I build another foil deck, what sleeves I'm gonna buy, because obviously stock is run out on the good ones, so I gotta figure out how the fuck to do that.
Well, I'm just gonna buy the $2 fucking shuffle them twice and they break, but they show the foils beautiful.
Bro, just put them in penny sleeves.
Yeah, fuck.
Or like perfect.
They'll fit. Loose the just no. Clear. Just the yeah, perfect fits. Perfects be good, except for a lot of things with that. It's much smaller and awkward. But yeah, just get the loose penny sleeves, the ones that don't actually the cards will fall out of as you shuffle.
I actually played against somebody at F&M.
Those are the worst. I'd rather not play the sleeves.
Oh my god, that'd be so annoying.
The edges like fold over so easy, and like you can't.
The card squirts out halfway.
It was a werewolf so deck, bad. And this was like before Shadows over Innistrad. This was like before
Jesus.
So there was no getting wolves. It was not werewolf, but just wolves. Anyways, So we have another episode of Pet Hospital.
Woo, woo, woo. My favorite segment.
Wee, wee, wee. Ouch. So the other night, my sweet little bulldog, Princess Daisy, was out in the yard. And I'd been doing yard work on and off for the past couple weeks. And just trying to get rid of these fucking foxtails and all the fucking weeds. She goes sniffing something on the ground. All of a sudden, she starts sneezing a shitload, and we just, me and my fiance.
don't.
Me and my fiance.
There you go. Okay.
That's better. Oh, jeez.
I'm not good with middle ground, guys.
Me and my immigrant.
Oh, God.
She immigrated from
Poland. I can say that.
Yeah. It's fine. So we just look at each other like, fuck, hope that's not a foxtail. She wakes up the next day. She's still sneezing a bunch. And then my girlfriend made an appointment at the vet. And then the following day, she wasn't sneezing at all. So I was like, oh, hopefully it was nothing.
Just in her brain.
Yeah. So take her to the vet. And the vet's like, yeah, that fits the profile. Because those foxtails, they just keep on burrowing and going deeper and going deeper. So anyways, they had to put her under and do all that shit. And they pulled out this big old fucking foxtail out of her nose. But the vet was telling me all these crazy stories. Like, the worst case she'd ever seen was, like, when she was in vet school, one had, like, gotten into the side, just in the hair and skin of a dog.
Uh-huh.
And it just kept burrowing and burrowing, and it eventually made its way into the dog's lung. Mm. And then, so it was having lung issues. So when they did their scan or whatever, they thought it was like a tumor or something. And so they like...
They killed the dog.
Yeah, they killed the dog for science. And no, they...
Because surgery is too much money for an animal.
No, they took out that part of the lung because they thought it was a tumor, all their, you know, best guesses. And when they opened it up, it was a goddamn foxtail. And I was like, oh, fantastic. That's exactly what I want to happen.
So wait. Did they when they removed the part of the lung, they did remove the foxtail along with a bunch of lung?
Yeah,
so you cut out a chunk.
They had it on the table, and they cut it open, and they're like, that's a foxtail inside of her lung.
I think they just took it out, and when they got it out, they're like, oh, this is a foxtail, not a fucking...
Let's put this lung back together. Let's see if we can try to sew all this
staple,
together.
Staple, super glue.
Yeah, super glue. Hold it still for 45 seconds.
Yeah. So that
bummer.
Is no longer
accredited. So you gave them a blank check, and they were like... we can't fit as many zeros on this thing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So there goes a bunch of money. But anyways, glad the dog's okay. And then I'm going to walk outside and she's going to be like sneezing again. I'm going to be like, God damn it! You deal with it. Other exciting news. So after last week, me and Crow was talking about Titanfall 2, talking it up real good. After the cast, I went and... looked on the Xbox Marketplace for it, $59.99. I said, fuck you in your face.
You missed the sale by 3 days, but yeah, it was like $20, $25.
Yeah, exactly. It's under 30, I remember.
I looked online, and it was like $26 at Walmart. Went down to Walmart. It was in the case for like 40, and I'm like, hey, what's up with this fucking, you know, barely showed him my phone. Like, hey, it says on the Walmart website it's 26, and he's like, well, let me see that, and just looked at it a little bit, and he's like, okay.
Yeah,
so like, I could have just like fabricated a fucking price and made it look like with Photoshop skills. Hey, it says it's $5. You know what I mean?
Could have.
He barely had, like.
They're not trained on that, but they have to like they do by their fucking thing. So if you can show them anywhere, price match, yeah, they price match their shit. So
yeah, so like I fucking went and got it for $26. Came home, and yeah, it's pretty good so far. A couple hours into the campaign,
I've done some
multiplayer.
We've talked about it a little bit, but like the first, you know, third of the game is like. It feels good. It feels really good. Like, the controls are super tight and all that stuff. But it feels kind of like what you'd expect. Kind of normal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then you get into some stuff that is not what you'd expect. Did you beat the campaign?
No. So that's what you missed last week when you weren't here. We were talking about that is you are a first-person shooter for the campaign kind of guy, whereas out of 10 first-person shooter games that I play, let's say, I will finish a campaign out of one or two of them.
Okay.
I'm not a big camp because like it just doesn't do it for me when it's just repetitive. Shoot at the guys a bunch of times that are hiding behind a box or hiding behind a ledge. It just doesn't really do it for me. And I know Titanfall 2 will have a different aspect further on, so I will eventually beat it for the campaign, but I play like an hour or two of the campaign and then went into multiplayer and really, really enjoy the multiplayer.
So on that same thing, as I agree with you about myself. And a lot of times, I don't even play a lot of multiplayer.
Yeah.
Like, I probably 10 hours or less in most of those kind of games for multiplayer. But Titanfall is a game that I feel has this, like, Rocket League appeal to it or something like that, where I feel like I could just jump into it, and the action is just, like, right there, and there's just so much to do, and it just... It feels so fucking good to play multiplayer on that. It automatically grabs me, and it doesn't feel, like, repetitive or boring or nothing. It just feels like I always have some new there's new things to do. There's flexibility in each map. You know what I mean?
One thing to talk to them about is the mode attrition. The mode attrition, it's great for new players and people who are seasoned in the game, because in attrition, you play pilots, and you know, yourself against other real people. There's also, on both teams, multiple AI guys that'll spawn throughout the map during the match.
I love that. You get to kill people and still feel like you're doing something.
So, even if you're good, you go around and kill the other ones. You still get some points to those guys, but you obviously don't get as much for killing a regular real player.
You get like 10 instead of 100 or something.
Yeah, so you can be a shitty player and just roll, okay, because on the map, it shows where those drop pods are going in that general area. So you can just basically go, okay, I'm going to go over here and kill as many of these fucking grunts and nothings and AIs as I can and get a feel for this game until you eventually get your aiming down, get your firing down, get your type of gun down and your style of play, and really get better into beating the actual people. So it's well built in that kind of engine to adhere to for everybody, every type of player playing the game.
It's a great game. I don't even know like what I'd want to change in that game. The game is like
really, yeah, I really, solid. Really enjoy it. I'm already like level 42 and I've been playing it for, I don't know, 10 sessions of it.
So I fucking beat Mass Effect also. I didn't mention that, but that took like over 80 hours to beat it. I mean, I could have beat it way sooner, but I mean, doing all the extra stuff, you know? There's like some extra stuff I didn't beat that is like the really small, like fetch quest task stuff where like you literally talk to a person, they're like, can you help me out? Yes. You go grab something, you bring it back to them. Like stuff that's just really just no fulfilling gameplay.
Right.
There's a lot of side quests that have like story stuff with it and like companion type missions for people that are on your squad and like, you know, they get build their trust and all that stuff that you don't need to do, but like you can do, and then they'll be able to level up more and shit like that, just the bonus stuff. But the fetch quest stuff is just more like, here's some XP when you're done. Like, nothing, it's nothing. So I didn't do, I only did like half of those. But I looked, they show you like what your completed missions are, and when I just like hold down on the stick, and it's like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da going through all the mission titles, whatever, like that motherfucker goes on for like 40 seconds of just, it's like hundreds of missions that, you know, I've done, or just that are in the game. Hundreds, dude, hundreds and hundreds. It's a big fucking game. Over 100 hours to beat everything, but I'm not going to finish up the rest of it. And then they do have multiplayer, kind of. It's like co-op, where you do, like, strike missions, and you go down and, like, it's not, like, story intensive. It's just, like, you know, kind of like, I don't know, Gears of War type, you know, against the AI type match, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So
I'm excited, because actually, I believe coming this upcoming week, Prey is coming to Redbox, and I don't think they're buying the game overall, but I believe that it is Bethesda, is it not? Or am I wrong?
I think, man, I don't know. I think
Bethesda's
suing them because of the name, I think is what it is.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
So anyways, like the game, if you don't know anything about Prey, it is very different. It is, you're set in an outer space kind of situation, but you're able to like phase shift into anything, literally any inanimate object. You can literally roll down the fucking hallway as an apple.
It is Bethesda.
Okay, that's what I thought.
So Bethesda's getting sued over the name. Okay, I thought they were doing the suing. My bad.
Okay. So I don't know too much in depth of the game. I know part of the reason that you phase shift into objects is because there's like these stalking kind of creatures that you are trying to like get away from that will kill you. And so you can hide in and out of objects and roll down the fucking hallway to get away from them. So there's all kinds of different videos of people being the fucking banana or a pan or whatever and just flopping across the hallway or doing stupid little things. So it was like a weird little, like, because of that, like, for me, that actually kind of turns me away from the game, because it just, that just feels like too kitschy-ish and too little kiddish. I don't know. But it is Bethesda, so I'm excited to get a chance to play it through Redbox. So I'm going to be renting that game soon and giving it a shot and see what it's all about. Have more of a review. Personal
gotcha
feelings.
Okay, so here's, I just looked up the game, right, to see like it was Bethesda. Cool. Now the first thing it says is it has Forbes 6 hours ago, Forbes, you know, .com, whatever. Prey, day one impressions. What kind of game is this exactly? That's the title of the article. That's kind of funny. I mean I'm excited to play it. Okay, so it's Bethesda, but another thing is that it's Arkane Studios. And Arkane Studios are the Batman guys, I believe.
Let me look. Okay.
So they.
Well, the original Batman games were great. The last.
Hold on, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Second, third one was.
I am wrong. That's just because Arkane is the city, right? Is that what it's called?
Arkham.
Arkham is the city. My bad. They did. No, no, my bad. They just dishonored.
That Arkham is the asylum.
Yeah.
Gotham is the city. It is Batman. This is pretty common knowledge.
Put those words together, and you get the right answer. No, they did Dishonored. My bad. They did Dishonored.
I don't get shit at Dishonored.
And they did BioShock 2.
That's better.
Yeah. And I know people didn't like that game, but I like that game a lot.
It's BioShock. I mean.
And they did Call of Duty World at War.
Okay.
So they got a track record. I mean, it's not like the top tier track record.
But I knew still, I recognized the name. I couldn't have told you a game, but I do recognize that name. So.
So by the time you listen to this podcast, the sale will be over, but it is May 5th, right after May 4th, and Star Wars is having, or Steam is having the Star Wars sale, so it's like 77% off on everything Star Wars related. So if you don't have any of these games, you know, even if like they're not all that great, like just pick up a couple.
Yeah, that's what I did. I think I did that last year. I think about like five of them. I played maybe a total of 4 or 5 hours in total of the games in combination, because a lot of them are actually really bad, and a couple of them I bought were like, oh, I shouldn't have got this one. This is horrible. Yeah. But it's still a Star Wars game for fucking 20, not 25 cents, but like under $1 or $1.50 for some of these games and shit. And so, yeah, it's worth it for a couple of them.
My favorite Star Wars game, they added it last year, was Star Wars Rebellion. They're going back and adding a lot of the older computer games. So this came out in like, I don't even know, 96 or something like that. And it's basically just a real-time strategy, very simple. You know, you send your dudes on missions, you try and take over planets, and there's a very shitty, like...
Is the screen like a little gray screen type of deal, and like a gray frame around it, where you're trying to like, you click on the planets, do little things?
Yeah, like that.
Okay, you're going to have to like show me how to play this game, because it's not great on the instructions, and it is really bad. And so this is what I spent probably an hour or two on this game, because I just couldn't understand what the fuck was happening, and I kept trying, because I'm like, I know you talked this game up a lot, and I'm like, I couldn't get anything to work or go correctly. I had no idea what the fuck was happening.
Well, it's like, it's not like a very visually intensive game.
That's fine. It's a lot of
like point click sort of thing. It came with like a 200-page manual. So if you want to go, I can, you know, help you out. But if you, anybody who downloads it, go online and download the manual. It definitely helps out.
Apparently,
a lot.
You need it, because
yeah, you definitely.
I mean,
need
I'm not like saying I'm some savant, but I'm pretty good at figuring out video games, and no, I couldn't get this one.
This is very confusing, and I was just about to say that the ship battle system is very fucking wonky. So there's just like a automatic button that automatically has the battle for you. I always hit that. I never go into the whole thing. It's like this. It tries to be like 3D, so you can like tilt the fucking screen.
But,
like,
but it's a game in 96, so it's not really a thing.
Yeah, it's really bad in that aspect. But everything else is pretty cool, and that's actually how I learned a lot about Star Wars, a lot of the names of planets and those tier 3-4 characters and stuff like that, and all the ships and all that stuff.
So. Oh, that's something else I did. I watched Force Awakens for Star Wars Day.
Oh, nice.
That was enjoyable.
And yesterday, I got 8 years clean and sober. Hooray!
Beer!
If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you already know that, but I got clean and sober on a Star Wars Day, May 4th. Sometimes life works out perfectly like that. I didn't even know that was Star Wars Day until I probably had like 6 or 9 months clean.
Because
like,
you were sober finally?
Yeah, because I like,
wait a second, I had a cool clean date.
Pulled my head out of my ass.
I knew I was cool.
And then now when people find out, they're like, oh, did you plan it that way? I'm like, no.
They don't believe you,
do they? Dude, do you think a drug addict has like the wherewithal to be
how
like,
cool would it be if I stopped doing drugs?
Yeah. But the force was with me.
Yeah, force is strong with this
I finally
one.
Chose the light side. You can go back from being a Sith. Come on, Kylo, come back to us.
So, yeah, that was good and fun. Some other games I've been playing, just like old games that I had downloaded on Steam, I never really got like through completely, was like Shank 2, Bleed, what the fuck else? I just downloaded Braid. I'd never played that before.
Have you started playing it?
I haven't started playing that one, but I just downloaded it.
I'm just excited to hear what you think.
And so
one of my favorite games. So I'm just
and Super Meat Boy. I mean, it's just great.
Game's a pain in the ass.
It is.
I like watching people play that game more than I like playing that game.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those like impossible games, I enjoy watching people, you know, just fail. Master shit. No, just go fucking burn through stuff. But no, if I want to watch someone fail, it's live in front of my, you know, right in front of me. So
it reminds me of this Donkey Kong game on the original Game Boy, to where like, you know, there was a door and there was a key. And, you know, obviously they were in way different parts of the map, and you had to figure out all these puzzles and pull these levers. And
I'm sure that is the one that started all of this, because there's tons of games.
Is that the one with the mini Marios? Or is that the remake version?
No, that's not. That's not.
So they made another version of that that you could, there were certain ways you could get it free. It was also cheap to buy on the Nintendo, like, DS or Wii systems. I remember I used Nintendo PowerPoints, I believe, to get it. And it's a Donkey Kong and Mario game where, like, you have to use basically the same kind of concept where Donkey Kong area, you have to get, like, a door and I get a key or some kind of, like, basically that essentially that idea.
Right.
And you have to use, you have to build, you have, like, a row of, like, three to five mini Mario, like, toy type of looking Mario things. And so you have to, like, build, like, particular bridges for them to go across this way, and you have to move that ladder out of the way so they can go down and drop down this little other ledge and then bring them up to this spot, get the thing, and come back to the hole. And
right.
So it's like, I think it's based upon the game you're discussing then, because it's that game number two, basically.
Yeah, I think they've come out with a couple of those, like, mini Mario games or whatever. But this one was back in, you know, like, 98 or something.
Okay.
And it totally reminds me of Super Meat Boy, like on crack, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, anyways, it's
ridiculous.
I just play that every once in a while because I'm like, I know, like, it hurt. Okay, how long has it been since you played a game that hurts your fucking thumbs? You know what I mean? Do you remember playing those games when you were a kid where, like, you're like pressing so hard and you're, like, so into it and you're doing the repetitive motions? All of a sudden you're like, man, my fucking thumb hurts. You know, I need to take a break from this.
Yeah, I don't know how long.
I think part of that, though, also comes to, like, the new, like, ergonomics, that they're correct word for the controllers. Because, like, I like the N64 controller. Most people think it's, like, horrible and, like, stupid and there's a lot of things bad about it.
Well, Beth,
I love the grip.
In its element, it was great, but, like, yeah, now I can't go back. It's fucking...
Oh, I turn my N64 every now and then. I love that controller still. Okay, it's still my overall all-time favorite controller. I just...
Super
the grip of it, everything was great. But that... The actual...
The yellow ones?
No, I had no problem with that. Like, you said a certain way about it. But, I mean, kind of like the finger-hurting part. So, like, the thumbstick, the joystick, like, it was a hard plastic that almost had, like, not a sharp edge, but a thinner edge.
Right.
And, like, and in that game, like, you're doing all kinds of fucking... You're moving that joystick hard.
Yeah.
Like, you're not, like... You're going for it. So that one was definitely one that I could come away from that going, ow. Ow. Fuck. Okay, well, I'm still playing, though. Like, God, this hurts now.
So that's basically one of the first games in a long time where, like, half an hour later, I'm like, fuck, man, my fucking hand hurts. Like, I don't know if it's because of the intensity of me, like, trying so hard just to make... Because it's very much like Trials HD, or just Trials in general, where,
the dirt bike game,
where you have to hit certain things at a certain point. You have to jump right here and go this far and bounce off that little thing. And
it's like strategy platforming.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, I fucked up, I just start, like, over.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I took a hit, I gotta, you know, lose life. It's like, nope, I'm dead, I gotta start over. Oh, fucked up, gotta start over.
So yeah. Trials would probably be the game that you're saying that. Trials, what, like, on the expert level ones, whatever, are so fucking hard in Trials. Trials, like, there's you know, say 80 maps to go on or whatever, and three of them are so fucking difficult, you know what I mean? I may have not even beat all of them. I probably have, like, one or two left that I didn't beat, even though I was way into that game.
Oh, yeah.
In, you know, 2009 or whenever this was.
I think the second Trials that came out on the Xbox, me and Peppermint Swirl, just that was our thing. I'd go to his house, and we would just spend all night trying to get, like, one expert track done. good times. So, anyways.
He was good at that game. I think he was the best, actually.
Yeah.
I think Colin was the best at that game.
So... I'm trying to think of any other good shit. Nope. I'm done.
Boop.
Deep, so, boop, boop, boop. Moving on.
That was a good one, too.
To the magic. What do we got on the playlist?
The docket?
Yeah.
Bulletin board?
Well, I'm sure by now you've already heard, but they moved up for this year the release of the next Commander set.
That's fucking bullshit. That's crazy.
It comes out in what, like, September, October? When's it come out?
November? November.
November.
Now it's
November.
Coming out like, yeah, August.
It is coming out August 25th this year. A lot of that has to do with the planned 25th anniversary shenanigans that are going on. And that's what they moved it up this year. The other thing is, it's every year it's been five decks. You know, based on, like, monocolored or color sets, things like that. This year, the themes are set around tribal. They have also... So there's only four decks this time. They have also said that the tribes are not going to be the regular, like, zombies or elves.
No, I heard different. I heard that three of them are, and one of them is not what you expect.
Okay, well, then I guess we're hearing different things. I'm hearing that they're all... a skew of a tribe. They're not like a regular tribe you're going to see. They're not slivers. They're not this. They're they're going to be different little things. So you're saying that three of them are going to be big tries that people play all the time, and one's going to be weird?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard all of them are all going to be offset and different. I guess we'll find out.
I bet you were both wrong.
I guess we'll find out.
Two and two.
So, yeah, that comes out August 25th. The other thing...
What about HasCon?
That's what I'm going to next.
Ooh, baby.
So... Iconic Masters, which is going to be a similar to an Eternal Master situation. No reserve list.
Dude, I feel like some of these listeners are probably like, what is Iconic Masters? I feel like it went under the radar big time. Like, if you're not...
It has kind of slipped.
If you're not, like, listening to podcasts a lot or, like, on social media a lot, this is one that has not... There's no hype around it yet. Like, nobody's talking about it. It was just announced, and then for 24 hours, people were mentioning it, and then after that, nothing happened. So, like, I feel like this is going to be one of those... It'll get once it gets closer, people start finding out. But I feel like some of our listeners are going to be like, "What is this?"
So HasCon is going to be where they're going to originally at HasCon. My wife's calling me, so I can't see the date. September they're going to be having HasCon, and they're going to do a sealed tournament there with the Iconic Masters. And so at that point is basically when all the releases are going to be, because people are going to be able to post pictures on the internet of what they drew, and so that's when we really know what's going to be in the set.
So November we're going to get the full set released on one day, basically.
Basically, for at least for spoilers of what's
going to be. You're relying on people to actually, you know, spoil it for us, but it's not going to be like, they're not going to publish it on their website, but, you know.
But November 17th is when Iconic Masters is going to be released.
November 17th? Oh, yeah, because, okay, it's so going to be way beforehand. Yes. Some people are going to get their hands on their cards.
It's like 2 months beforehand.
That's when they're so weird.
Cars, yeah.
I guess they used to do this in the back of the day. I guess they used to do this blind shit a while ago.
Yeah, so that's kind of because it's Iconic Masters. I guess that's kind of like what they're trying to like hit different spots. The 25 years of Magic anniversary, they're trying to hit different spots of Magic and different eras of how things went, and this is kind of a throwback to that time to give that blind okay, this is what's happening kind of release.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the overall. I believe that's going to be pretty much the beginning of. Getting into this 25 years of Magic that they're planning on moving forward, and they're
going to do
all kinds of different things and whatever they're going to do, special shit and all this blah blah blah. So
gotcha. You got to call your lady or what?
Yeah, she's okay. Calling me a bunch right now. So I have
to yep, understood. I'm going to tell a story. Everyone, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you're by yourself. This is going to be
me and the listeners. Everyone loves my soothing voice. Let's think of a story here, guys. Let's think of a story. Well, because they might just edit this out, but if they don't, if Knife City doesn't listen. Well enough, and in the editing, maybe this will just go ahead and slip right through. So let's see here. Let's talk about getting in trouble with the law. Getting in trouble with the law is good. I have not gotten in trouble except for allegedly a misdemeanor for some public nudity, which is literally what it says on the ticket. Allegedly, is where I was. At a bonfire, and I did the thing where I pulled my pants down like I was in first grade learning how to use a urinal. And instead of, like, you know, just whipping out your little dick and fucking going in the urinal and having your ass covered up, like little kids, when you see them, they pull their pants down all the way to their ankles, and then they go. And that's that you do until someone tells you, like, hey, just pull it out and don't show everyone your ass, you know? So I did that as a joke. I used to do this all the time as a joke. And we're at a bonfire, and I'm at the water, and so I pull my pants down, show everyone my fucking fur ball ass, and everyone's getting a laugh out of it, and acting like I'm pissing in the water. I actually wasn't peeing at all, but and then two flashlights start the light that starts flickering and jumping closer and closer down the hill, like people are like running towards me. But for some reason, I thought that these were my friends. I didn't know that they were like police officers, but they were, and they came over to me. And I got in trouble. I saw the flashlights, and I didn't actually see at first that they were coming closer. I just thought my friends were shining the light to like get a better look at my ass. So I'm still just like woohoo, you know, like waving it around. And then cops show up, and I got a misdemeanor for some public nudity, and it was delicious.
You could have been on Megan's Law because of that.
Yeah, I could be in a lot of trouble. Allegedly, but I never did it. It's all allegedly. Anyways.
Yeah, allegedly.
This is just a podcast, guys. Yeah.
This but, is a dumpster pooping story?
Nah, there's a lot of those, too, though. Remember that time I pooped between the dumpster and the brick wall?
And
there's a 20-foot drop
and,
of poop.
20-foot. Whatever, how high is, like, a full-size dumpster? What is that? 10 feet?
Yeah.
So, like, 10, yeah, I was just sitting there, and it was just, like, just the perfect amount of room where, like, I could put, like, my back on one side and my fucking thighs on the other side, and I did, like, a splattery poop. down it, and I had all my friends, not all my friends, because they're, you know, they literally weren't all present that day. That'd be weird. that's the part that'd be weird.
He called everyone.
Yeah, he's like, everyone I've ever met.
Come watch my 10-foot shit.
They were all, they got a newspaper, or no, not a newspaper, a magazine out of my car, and they started ripping out pages, and they did the whittling thing that you do when you're in first grade, where you smush the paper up together, and then you roll it in your hands like it's fucking,
to soften it up for your
butthole. Yeah, it breaks down the fibers in the fucking newspaper, and then they handed it to me one by one, and I got to wipe my ass with a newspaper that felt really good for a newspaper, or for a magazine, you know, glossy magazine. It didn't feel like I was literally...
Like, not like Charmin?
Imagine if I tried to wipe with just the magazine. First of all, it'd be like... super sharp edges where, like, when you crumple it,
smear through your hair,
and then it would just smear and just push it,
yeah.
And it would never absorb anything because it's literally coated to not absorb stuff.
And then
so I would just be pushing it all over and hoping to, like, push it and then kind of, like, scoop outwards to, like, get some off my ass. Right. You know what I mean? If you just, like, push it, like, in one linear stroke, it's just going to literally shove
smear
it
up, smear it up your back.
And that's not good. You want to do it in a way that you, like, do a fast motion to, like, not spread out the contaminated area and get it off your body. And it was never happened with glossy paper. It has to be, you know, broken down. What it was supposed to be like animal hide, right? They're trying to make, like some Native American thing that we were doing in, like, first grade. They wanted to, like, make that.
You're going too far.
You've talked about this before. I never made wipeable ass paper in first grade.
You weren't
grade.
There?
No, I didn't go to first grade with you guys.
No, you didn't. Okay,
no.
You know what I'm talking about, though.
No, I know whittling.
You know
I never did that.
Well, it's not whittling. I don't know what the fuck it's called. But have you never done that ever in your life to actually break, squeeze paper and do that shit? And it does break down the fibers in it.
Yeah. I mean, it was never like a point of interest.
No, it is. It's like
he was in the special needs class.
Like,
they weren't allowed to use scissors.
You learn math, and you learned how to use scissors properly.
Try to step
and they teach you how to emergency shit in an industrial complex. So this is the thing you need. Okay, you know what I heard the other day? That talking about, like, pooping in your car or whatever. Someone was in traffic. I don't remember who the fuck the story's about. It was just, like, someone told me about their friend. And it wasn't that person, because I think it was, like, a fucking girl or something like that. It was just some dude. Anyways, he was in the car, and he's in traffic, and he has to shit, like, right now. So what he did is he got a bunch of, like, loose paper that he had in his car, and he sat it down on his driver's seat, like, below him, and pulled his pants down and just, like, hovered above the driver's seat and just shit right out of the paper. And I was like, that's kind of genius. I think I would have, like, just... shit my pants and accepted it, or had to pull over and shit in front of people. But he was like, as long as you can drive the rest of the way home while just, like, putting a lot of pressure on your legs and, you know, putting your back against the back of the car seat.
Well, once you're done, you just open the door, scoop that bitch out.
So all really difficult,
though. I think littering is the least of your worries when you're
probably.
So when I was working at the bar, for security, like, the first three shifts or training shifts, you don't get tipped out. On your third night, to get, like, kind of, quote-unquote, hazed into the group, you had to tell, like, a really embarrassing story. So one of the guys told this one where... So he was at the beach. So he's just in swim trunks, no shirt, nothing else, just swim trunks. And his stomach started getting upset. And he's like, so he starts driving to get home. And, like, I forget what it was. And then he pulled over to this, like, restaurant to go to the bathroom. And the bathroom was fucked up. He couldn't go. So, like, he had to drive to get inland to get home. It was like a 20, 30 minute drive. Well, that's what it was. So he's pulling over to this restaurant to go use the bathrooms before he shits himself. As he's pulling into the parking lot, it's explosive diarrhea. And right. He can't hold it anymore as he turns. And because that moment of,
like, it's
release,
got, like, a 120 like, degree radius, like, being, exploding out.
Yeah, it's like being drunk and, like, almost making it home. And then suddenly you doze off and hit a car. Like, I've done that. It's unfortunate. So.
Allegedly.
No. And then I knew the next day it was trash day and the trash can was there, so I pulled the trash can in front of the fucking car and managed to get a tow truck to move my cars on my street. My car to over to my house down the road, put the trash can in front of it, and so the next day the neighbors thought it was a dump truck to hit their fucking car, and then the cop showed up and realized it was me.
This is what I was talking about, getting in trouble by the cops, bro. It's good shit.
And it was... I was driving an F-150, and it was a little fucking, like, Civic nothing car, so I literally monster trucked this fucking car. I went up the fucking hood, over the fucking windshield, and smashed, oh, and then went, bam, landed down, and, like, broke my back axle.
That is not funny at all. Oh, my God.
I woke up to the landing. back to the poop story. The point of that story was that you hit this moment of, okay, fuck, I made it. I made it. And suddenly, so he goes to pull in his restaurant, and he can't fucking hold anymore, so he just explosively shits diarrhea in his swim trunks, all in his, down his legs, like starts, as he's driving, he's dripping, and now he can't pull in this place anymore. Now he's like, now he's like 15 minutes from home, so now he's like, well, now I'm just gonna keep going.
Smell your diarrhea home. Shit.
And so
that's great. And clean your car. Hope you have leather.
Like, squirts up his back. So he starts driving and getting to get home. Three more times before he made it home, he kept shitting himself. So his whole fucking car was just smeared in explosive diarrhea shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty gross. I love it, though. So here's another one like that.
I figure we delved into stories because...
No, never. Okay, okay. No, this is all magic related. a person I know was walking...
Quote, unquote, not you?
Not me, nope. Was walking their dog. I don't walk my dogs. My dogs, I don't fucking care about them. And so they're walking their dog, and I don't know what the hell they ate beforehand, but they were like... Say they went down like 30 houses or something like that, right? They get to the end, which probably not the end of the walk yet, and they're like, well, I got to shit my pants. So, like, now it's like, for some reason, that person went from, like, I didn't have to shit, or I could make it home, to, like, I have 45 seconds. So, they start, like,
been there.
Getting the dogs, like, okay, we got to go. And so they're walking back, and they get to, like, within, like, 8 houses of their home, and then it was like, I just got to go now. So, this person, like, went to the house that was nearest, and, like, tried to get in their backyard. Like, tried to get their gate to, like, go shit, like, in their backyard or whatever, in the grass or something like that. Couldn't get the gate open. Realized that the time was now. So he just pulled down his pants in the front yard on the side of the house and put his back against their house and just shit down the side of their house and on the grass. You imagine, like, daylight? Like, you just... Can you imagine that shit? You can't make it home. You're holding like 2 dogs in your fucking on leashes or whatever, and you're just trying to open this gate. Can't do it. Fuck it. And then you have to just pull down your pants middle of the day. Car's driving by. Probably no car driving by. That just makes the story better, though. And then he just puts his back against the wall and just shits on.
Were the neighbors home?
Dude, none of that matters, bro.
Just, well, no,
he just shits in the house.
The old guy comes out. What are you doing pooping on my house? No.
Nothing came of it, except for someone
did
had
he
a bad
it off
day.
Or did he, did
no,
he
of course
it.
He left. He left.
You flee the scene.
You flee the scene. You do your business. You get the fuck out of there. Like, I've done it at a school. I think I told that story, I think, a long time ago, like, where I got to work at this high school before. It was, like, summertime, so nobody was there. But it was, I got to work at this high school, and then fucking my boss never doesn't show up, and I call him, like, dude, like, you let me in the fucking school. I got to poop like really bad. I didn't say that. I said like, hey, when are you getting here? Oh, yeah, I'll be there in like 10 minutes. I'm like, oh, my God. So I go like get to go back in my car to go drive to like a fucking AMPM or whatever the hell to go shit in some, you know, fucking...
squalored bathroom.
Anything. Yeah, whatever. And I just like walk to my car. And I'm like, I just can't make it. I know I can't make it. So I had to go back to the high school, which, you know, this is all within like 100 feet. And they have these sanitainers, these just those like containers that, you know, have the double doors locking... fucking padlock on the outside, and they hold like, you know, baseball equipment or, you know, just whatever shit that they put on boats to go fucking overseas.
storage units.
So one of those things, I see it. It's like the thing that like is least visible from any street or whatever, and I do the same thing. I just put my back against the fucking back of it, pull out my pants, and just take a bubbly shit all over the fucking ground, and then I just kick a bunch of dirt on it and everything like that. But I see it's all like flat ground, and there's like houses that all back up, like their backyards are backing up to like the baseball field area and all that shit where I'm at. So I'm probably like 100 foot from like the nearest home. But I mean, there's like, I can see like 20 homes. So it's totally possible that somebody was drinking their coffee in the morning.
Yeah, somebody's eating breakfast.
Yeah, eating breakfast. And they just see this dude just fucking bubble shit coming out of his ass.
Panicky looking around. And then just like, fucking
like a dog covered with dirt. On it. I covered dirt. And then I remember I worked the rest of the day. He opened it up and I fucking wiped my ass finally. But it was good. It was actually like the pants were completely clean. I did like a nice butt clinch, and you know everything was trapped in there. So we're all good there. Save some underwear. We're all good. I mean, I would accept if the underwear had to go away. That's fine. I'd throw it in the trash. I don't care. But I remember like seeing they had some high school program or whatever where people were like doing like track and field, and so there were people were like running laps, and they were running right by my shit. They weren't, like, going to step on it because it was way too far away, but they were still, like, there's, like, 50 kids that are, like, running within, like, 10 feet
of this fucking... They were in smell zone.
They were totally in smell zone. Like, how much dirt do you have to have to cover up, like, the shit of bubbly fucking... or the smell bubbly shit? Like, really?
Let's break this down mathematically.
I have a problem being able to... Because I've had this problem multiple times. It's damn near impossible for me to pee and drive at the same time. Like, my body just won't do it. And there's been times where I'm stuck. This one time in particular, I was stuck in L.A. traffic. I had driven, like, an hour and a half, and then I hit this, like, two-mile stretch. And just going those 2 miles was an hour and a half in and of itself. And there was only, like... You know, two exits or whatever.
Yeah, LA traffic is fucking crazy. Also, there's nothing to look at in traffic. All the places that have traffic have, like, the shittiest businesses.
Yeah.
And, like, just the worst roads. Like, it's just such a crappy area if you're not in the good parts of LA.
LA sucks.
It does. When you're in, like, the 80% of LA, it's fucking garbage, bro.
And, like, so I drive a car that's low to the ground, a little Civic. And so... There's, like, any car that looks over, it doesn't have to be an SUV, like, any car that looks over can clearly see...
No tinted windows. Well,
yeah, no tinted window. I have no coverage.
You ever jack off in traffic?
No, I haven't done that one.
I never have.
No, I haven't done that one yet.
I've thought about it, but I just know I can't. It's not going to happen.
So I'm sitting there, fucking pants, like, around the ankles, not even, like, trying to, like, be discreet. Like, I've been holding it already for, like...
Why don't you just whip it out? You had to, like, pull your pants down... Like
you didn't want to pee on his pants.
I didn't want to pee on my pants. It's not like literally not down to my ankles, but I had it, you know, down. And then I'm just like leaned over. I try leaning over to the left so like no one can see. It won't
just
go.
See your ass cheek.
Yeah, it won't go there. Okay, so I'm like,
wait, I'm sorry, I missed it. With your door open?
No.
He's driving still.
I'm in like bumper to bumper.
I know. LA, what are you peeing into?
Oh, a cup.
Okay, that's what the whole point. I'm like, no, you're leaning over
just
as
my
in,
hands.
No. Gonna drink it after.
Yeah. Won't that won't work?
If you're gonna pee your pants, just like leave the pants on. There, okay. I'm just like pee on the floor.
So I like, try and lean over to the right, and like, there's like people are just like, I don't think anybody looked over.
You're getting gun shy, but you just
but you're not. I'm looking. I'm like, if this dude just looks over, we're gonna make eye contact, and I have like my dick in my hand in a cup. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing I can do about this. I like try all sorts of different positions. I could not pee. It was like the worst drive.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I can absolutely pee, and I absolutely do. Like I
have before.
I have,
it's just there's something weird about
it. I have thought about it, and where to the point where like if I have a Gatorade bottle, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually just gonna leave this in the car just in case, like an empty Gatorade bottle, because you know the mouth is big enough where it's like no issue.
Yeah,
it's not like you're trying to like fucking aim the head where it's like perfectly into the goddamn
so
20
can.
Liter of
you
fucking
cut
whatever.
Your dick head on it.
Yeah, I haven't peed in a can yet, but yeah,
I'm assuming we're all, you know, a lot of our listeners are males. I apologize to all the female listeners out there, but there is a thing that's unspoken. I don't think I've talked to you guys about it at all. Where if
it's unspoken, we can't talk about
it. If you, until this point, if you do try and pee in a regular size bottle, you cannot just press your dick up against the bottle because liquid is going in, therefore air needs to come out to make room for that liquid.
Yeah.
So if you try and pee into it, it like has this little like...
If you're not holding the bottle good enough, that bottle
also,
will fall your hand.
A little fun fact, at least for my dick... The piss hole is not just directly in through the middle of your dick. It's not like you got a fucking...
So, hey, he's got a big dick slit and you got a weird dick hole?
No. I mean, it's on like the lower half of the dick. It's not like the urethra runs exactly middle. That's like where all the muscle is. It's like all the that shit is
yeah,
like
but don't
the
you
bottom.
Have like a mushroom-headed top?
So you're saying you got like
so
a
like
fucking,
it evens it out to the middle?
Your dick looks like a whale to where there's just like little mouth.
It's a bottom feeder. Yeah, I can't just like blindly stick it there. I have to make sure like I know the piss hole is in the bottle.
Okay. I learned something new today. Mine's square in the middle. But it's hard to
Mind you, I didn't know that was
a thing.
It's
hard to say that it's in the middle because it's just taking up so much space. You take it for granted that
it's
in the middle.
It's a whole half
moon. Dickhead is not a cone. There's like more meat on the top than there is on the bottom. You know what
I kind of want you to pull your dick out.
I will show you.
Don't even feel gay about this.
I don't want to leave, but I have to go. Fuck.
Don't even feel gay. If you leave, it'll be gay. Here, I'll call my neighbor over. Hey,
what's your dickhead look like?
I'll call my girlfriend.
I'll show you a picture of my dick real quick. Hold on.
Oh, God. I don't want to see this.
Continue on.
Okay, so anyways, this is super hard for me to pee while I'm driving. I've done it before. It's just, and I hate like long drives, too. And especially usually wherever there's like a long drive to, there's always like fucking traffic. It's always going up
right now. Hold
going
on.
Up north somewhere. But I have had the emergency shit where I'm just hanging out talking to a buddy after a meeting. And then, you know, like an hour goes by and there's no one left except for me and him. And then all of a sudden, I just get that instant, oh God, no, I have to shit. And then I'm just like, hey, will you watch out for people because I have to shit.
See what I mean?
What
it's on the bottom.
What is that?
This is the cutaway of your dick. The urethra's on the bottom.
Why would you slice your dick off?
I had to for the picture. All right, later.
As my point is that the anatomy of it is not like it goes run through the middle like you're fucking shoving a stick into a corn dog. It's not like that. It's on the bottom.
You guys don't know anything about the dick? You guys got dicks. You should know about the dick. See, like that.
Look,
boom.
Just
because
you got a weird dick hole, don't bring it on us.
That's.
I'm just saying, it's not directly in the middle. It's on the lower part. It's not on the bottom. It's just not dead center.
It's like
40%.
It's like a stingray.
It's a 60% meat on top, 40% on the bottom. You know what I mean? It's like one of those.
Anyways, so I assume we start going to these stores because everyone abandoned ship at the same time. Yeah?
What happened now?
I assume we start going into these stories because everyone excused themselves at the same moment.
Yeah, so I'm like, well, I'm going to tell them a story.
Fantastic.
And so I told the story, and I'm like, maybe he'll edit this, or maybe he'll miss it in the edit, and just you'll have to listen to my voice.
Nope. They're just going to have to listen to whatever we fucking said.
Which, whatever that was.
Yep.
Don't even edit this one. Like, don't even listen to it at all. Just literally fucking upload it. You got some shit on there? What's going on? Is this still recording?
Oh, yeah. It's all recording. Good? We Great. Are good. We are good to go.
You bleeding? Yeah, you bleeding.
So... Crow had talked about the Commander set. They bumped it up to September.
Iconic Masters.
I still have some. I'll just edit out whatever Crow said. He's garbage.
Shut the fuck up.
So yeah, it's a tribal set. That's going to be cool.
August 25th is when Commander comes out, not September.
Okay. So what tribes do you think they're going to be?
Okay, so if we're actually asking what tribes, man, this is a hard one because they could just be anything. Like, there's there's no like guesses that it could be even like remotely.
And
anything.
They're only doing four. So it's not like the usual five, one for each color, or there's going to be pairs or this and that, guilds, nothing.
We mentioned it, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, so guesses. Okay, let's see here. I would say they're not going to do elves.
They did elves in the mono green.
Right. So they're not going to do elves.
Right.
They don't actually have like a zombie commander deck to the precon, do they? They have like zombie cards, but they're not like zombie tribal, right?
I think the only like zombie deck pre-constructed one they made, maybe it was one during the original Innistrad, like an intro deck or something like that, but I think the only other one was one for the anthology I got. Mm-hmm. What's that called?
I don't remember what it's called.
Plane Chase Anthology. So they made a deck... zombie deck just for that.
So I think that they're going to have zombies. I just think that it's going to be like with Amonkhet and all this stuff, they're going to have a couple new cards. Maybe they can throw them from the new set even. Maybe just that 1/5 mana enchantment that fucking gives 2 zombies and +1/+1.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Let's see here. I'm going to say, I think Merfolk, does that have enough support? Probably not, huh?
I think Merfolk can.
I think maybe, I'm trying to think of like what else that could be relevant. Like, what else would there be? Nagas. It's going to be Nagas.
Hello, beautiful fiancé who just snuck into the garage. Say hello.
Hello, I'm watching you.
You might have to speak up a little bit.
Hello.
You also have to be funny. So, let's work on that.
I'm watching you.
Okay, perfect. So.
I don't know what you need. I don't know. It's so tough to think about. I'm thinking about what they're not going to do more than what they're going to do.
So for like 5 colors, they could do either slivers or elementals if they choose.
I think
to do
elementals
is
probably a pretty good one. That would be one that should see play because there's a lot of like really unique stuff in elementals. Right. That would be good.
And they could even reprint that elemental land. You know, it taps for anything basically if you cast an elemental spell.
What about, it's kind of boring, but what about just humans?
Yeah, they could do humans. I mean, there's even like not even humans. They could do soldiers or warriors.
Let's say that one of them will be one of those three. There'll be a human warrior or soldier deck, something okay. like that.
Yeah.
Maybe like with like Marshall Coup and or New Coup or whatever it's called and shit like that, where like destroy the board, create a bunch of 1/1s type bullshit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There could be a few of those. Let's see about strange ones, though. Man, what about like insects? Things that create a lot of insects, maybe, or something like that? Maybe not, though, because that still has a creature type on the original creature that isn't an insect. It only creates insects.
They could do that, like, sapperling bullshit. The fungus, or, like, the one with all the counters. Was that fungi counters, or and then it makes a sapperling, or some crazy shit like that?
Which is kind of what I play for my tokens deck, basically.
Right, yeah. right.
Oh, man. I know. You have anything? I can't really think of what it could be.
I mean, zombies is... I feel like it's just...
I think zombies...
It's a go-to.
And
it's,
then a human-esque deck, and then there's two more. And one of them is supposed to be weird, so one of them could be like... It can't be like clerics, because that's just like humans, but it could
somebody
be...
Somebody mentioned wizards.
Yeah, wizards. I think that'd be a good one. So wizards could be it, which also is humans a lot of times, but some of them aren't. Some of them are like bird wizards and shit.
And I feel like beasts already kind of got love it back did. In the Omnath.
Yeah, the Naya one.
Not Omnath, the...
Whatever the Naya one
is. Yeah, the Naya one. The one I used for
Titan. That had beasts in it. That had a huge beast Marath. Theme on it. Marath. Man, there's so much shit, right? I don't really know. Slivers, like, I hope they don't. Because Slivers is only, like... That's like the deck. There's not, like, a lot of variation. You just have to throw in the same cards for every deck. Sliver. So if you build it once, like, you're building... All you can do is, like, upgrade lands, removal, and that's it. I mean, everything else is pretty cheap already, so it's not, like... I don't know. It's not worth it to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want that to be one of them.
I think Elemental has a lot more leeway.
Elemental's a super good one. I think that should be one for sure.
I've been wanting to build an Elemental deck, but I just haven't got around to building all the pieces yet, so that would be nice.
I mean, it could just be dragons.
Yeah, dragons, you know, dragons angels. Would
be fun. Angels or dragons, that could also
angels
be one.
Angels and dragons. Angels, dragons, and zombies. Those are like the three, like... super obvious ones, and hopefully they're only going to do one of the three, and they'll be a little creative with the other ones.
I wonder how expensive they can go here, because angels are like super expensive usually, like a lot of the good ones,
right?
And then dragons are like not quite as expensive. There's a lot more like dragons that are reasonably priced that are still powerful. A lot of the angels that are like cheap are usually not that powerful. I feel like they're powerful like if you have a shit ton of mana and a bunch of time.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, instant gratification. I think dragons are. Dragons, like, destroy the board type stuff and have haste and, like, better stuff going on with it. So maybe they could do, like, a... Do they say what colors they're going to do? They didn't say anything, huh?
No, just four decks and they're going to be tribal.
Okay. I'm wondering how many colors they're going to go.
They could even do something weird like tokens. You know what I mean?
Tribal,
like,
though.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's not... I don't think they're going to... That's not, like,
but, I mean, there's
theme.
Lots of, like, token... Dokies. Enablers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
So they, moving on to Iconic Masters. So nothing but the name and what, the date has been given out?
Yeah, like, so we just talked about it. I'm not sure if you're going to edit or whatever, but we already mentioned that, like, the.
Well, I just want to mention how, like, everyone is talking shit about it.
Really? I haven't noticed. What are they saying?
Just like, oh, Iconic Masters is such a stupid name if they're not going to. Print the all the iconic cards are on the reserve list and blah blah blah. It's like everyone's been bitching for reprints for so long, and now that they're like reprinting cards, you're just gonna like complain about it. And the second side is that just because cards are iconic for you doesn't mean those are the same iconic cards for somebody else. Somebody who's been playing for, you know, 25 years. You know, Black Lotus and all that is going to be iconic. People like us who start playing during Gate Crash, then, you know, Snapcaster, Thragtusk, Liliana of the Veil, stuff like that is a little bit more iconic, at least to our when we started playing. So they're going to have to pick iconic cards throughout all of Magic's history. So it's almost going to be like a From the Vault.
I see it as too.
But like a set.
See it exactly like that. That's exactly how I see it. It's going to be like just popular card. Like Howling Mine is not good, but that could be just a card that's in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Something that's like, it's you know the name. It's popular.
It's literally, it's going to be Eternal.
Like Birds of Paradise will be in the set. That's what I feel like. You
it's going to be Iconic Master, or it's going to be Eternal Masters 2. That's basically all it is. That's what it's going to be. Because they're not going to put a bunch of standard cards. Eternal only means, like, formats that don't really rotate, so, like, non-standard formats. So it's essentially going to be Eternal Masters too. It's just people are like, oh, Iconic Masters. That just sounds so awkward to say. And then they're just like tearing it to pieces just because of the name. And I just want to take these people. I want to bend them over my knee, and I want to shoot them.
Just like that.
That's
correct, yes.
Exactly. That's how you do that, right? Okay.
Yeah, you shoot them in the butt. Right in the butt. They had someone say, like, if you're not going to, like, do the reserve list, what are you going to do? And then Morrow or whoever, Worth or whoever the fuck it is, Aaron Forskin or whatever the fuck.
Forsyth.
It was basically like, there's a lot of shit we can put in this. Like, there's plenty of stuff to put in this set that isn't reserve list.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it.
And so
they're not going to do reserve list. Like, obviously, they said that. They're like, no, we're not breaking the fucking rules here, even though they can. They're just going to do what they feel are very popular. Like you said, From the Vault is like a perfect example, the best example of what these cards will probably be, From the Vault type stuff.
I just don't get it when people are like, well, what can they even reprint? There's so many things that they've missed from, from right before Battle for Zendikar to the beginning of Magic's time. How many things have they not reprinted? We just get all big googly eyes because, oh, they reprinted, Liliana and Snapcaster. What else could there be? There's so many cards that they could reprint.
Lightning Bolt. What about just Demonic Tutor?
Demonic Tutor?
You know what I mean? That's another one
Is that on the reserve?
No.
Okay. I don't really know what's on the reserve.
Yeah, that's in, like, Dual Decks Anthology.
Oh, right.
You know, or, like, there's, like, that's an iconic card that should be, you know, or even, like, Dark Ritual should also be in it. Like, a lot of even just the Expedition-type cards.
Yeah, the Expedition-type cards. Phyrexian Altar? Like, that thing fucking... The price has just gone up because it's just... There's like, a window of an acceptable reprintability time. And then the price starts to get out of control. And then it's harder to reprint it in a set because they know that a lot of the value is going to be soaked up in that one card. So, like, Phyrexian Altar is the artifact, and I want to say Phyrexian Tower is the land.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, I see them doing, like you said, more of Eternal Masters, where the commons and uncommons may not be totally specific towards one type of thing, like would it be for Legacy or for Modern. I think it'll just be like for everything, you know, and then be, they said it's for, obviously, for drafting. It's meant for drafting, so they have to put in good draftable stuff in there. So a lot of it's not going to be worth anything, but it's going to be just like cards. I'm hoping it's just going to be cards you've heard of, maybe even just like Gary, you know, shit like that like has, that did a lot for its time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe even put Thoughtseize back in there, you know, and shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Those are good cards.
I mean, obviously, they've shown that they're not afraid to reprint stuff in non-standard sets. So we could really be seeing anything at this point. Theme doesn't matter at all. Besides reserve list, it's like it could be anything.
Could be anything. Even a boat.
Even a boat.
Yeah.
And you know how much I've wanted a boat.
So what else we got for Magic stuff?
What do we have? What do we have?
What do we have?
Oh, we have the GP.
So standard, you guys talked about the emergency ban last time?
We talked about the emergency ban.
We know that. Like, Felder Guardian got fucking banhammered to shit. Totally weird news. We had I'm sure you guys expressed your opinions, and mine are probably pretty similar to that. Wizards just kind of fucked up, you know. They fucked up like twice in the same week, where they didn't do it and then they did it at the wrong time, you know. So it's like a weird, they had some mistakes, but past the mistakes, it's still just better for the format, right? You kill a deck that is really shitty to have a fucking two card combo, and now you have, you know, even like top tier Mardu vehicles, which, spoiler, did take down the tournament, but even though it did, it's because more like it was already a pre-built deck that everyone was used to playing, and they had 2 days to fucking figure it out, you know, to playtest these other decks. And Mardu Vehicles, it makes sense to win, but now
they can, people can go ahead and adjust and start fighting against, you know, Mardu vehicles and start fighting against each other. Like, there's going to be all kinds of new shit popping up. So now the sideboards are going to be completely different. And so, like, magma spray will take place of shock, you know, for an example, you know, taking care of Scrap Heap Scrounger and shit like that. So now there's, like, other sideboard changes that are not just going straight towards killing Shaheely right off the bat. You know what I mean? So that's good. It opens up some sideboard spots, and you can have more variety for everything. Even have, like, graveyard hate now, because graveyard stuff's getting important. So you can even sideboard in that one black mana, take away three cards from their graveyard or whatever, has cycling also. Shit like that can go in there, too. So I think, you know, we're going to see in the next week or two some cool changes. You know, some decks have emerged. Getting some popularity. Like, I saw mono blue control, or just control in general, has got, like, instant speed card draw and some other good shit, you know what I mean? So there's some good stuff there. Zombies have now actually become a deck that wasn't just the blue, red, Elder Deep Fiend style deck where you're, like, discarding stuff and tapping down their lands and keep bringing shit back. It's like the zombie flyers deck, basically. Now you actually have zombie ground creature beatdown decks.
Yeah, it's black-white.
Yeah, black-white now. So that's pretty sweet as well. Anyways, it's just, yeah, new stuff's coming up. There still is, like, you know, Walking Ballista and the green-black, you know, counters type shit is still really important and still really, really powerful. The green-red energy deck with, like, the Helion and Attune with Aether and all that kind of shit is still really big. So, but there's still, it seems like there's going to be emerging, you know, five or six decks rather than two or three decks. So that one killing one deck opened up three more decks for me. You know, like even the fucking artifact that, like, you can look at the top six, what is that called?
Marvel
came back, you know, or Marvel's coming back now. Even though Emrakul's gone, Ulamog is still there, and you're still hitting other stuff. So those decks are coming back, and it seems pretty cool.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
And we're back. Thank you for the brief intermission. So we were talking about GP Atlanta and how zombies are making a comeback and the field is starting to open up a little bit. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this Pro Tour.
Hey, so what are the results? You want to look them up? Because I have one deck that seemed, like, pretty sweet that it made it. I was watching day one of coverage and I haven't seen anything else, but I saw, like, I think it was like sixth place or something like that. Oh, it doesn't say right there, really. Mono Black Aggro.
Oh, it's right here. Yeah, Mono Black Aggro. Yeah.
So this deck, like, just kind of cracks me up because it's just Mono Black Aggro. It doesn't have, like, any kind of devotion type thing where it's like a big finisher or nothing like that. It's just literally the fucking smallest, babyest shit coming at your face forever, and that's all it is. And it got me kind of excited that a deck like this can fucking hit a top eight. Because it's, like, super cheap. And, yeah, you see that guy? A little fucking one mana 1/1, right? And when it becomes tapped, it drains your opponent.
Yeah, Night Market Lookout. That is, I had to go look up what this card did. Like you said, it's a 1/1 for a single black. Human Rogue, whenever it becomes tapped, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. And it's as simple as getting underneath Mardu vehicles. If you can just get a little bit under them and get the game going in your direction, you can have a chance. And this deck proves that.
It's fucking crazy. What other shit is on there?
So we have
Dread Wanderer for Recursion, that 2/1 zombie that can block and then come back as long as you're. They call it Heckbent because it's D-second one card instead of Hellbent. It's cute. We have Magic. People are cute.
So we have the wannabe
Bob.
Wannabe Bob, the Glint Sleeve Siphoner.
Still good, though. I mean, it's 2/1 Menace that can sometimes draw you a card. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
I totally didn't even realize it had Menace.
Yeah, it's a good card. I mean, it's a good card. It's been seeing play this whole time. Just not going up in value and not, like, you know, breaking the fucking format. But it still is good.
Right. So we have 4 Bone Pickers. I mean, if you're going to be throwing your Night Market Lookouts, you know, into your opponent, so for the first turn, They take two, you gain one. Second turn, or I mean, second. So you're able to attack a couple times before it dies, and then when it dies, you're like, oh yeah, since something died, I play two bone pickers out of
right,
my hand.
Or even just fatal pushes.
Yeah,
there's four fatal pushes and four grasp of darkness. Like that's fine. That's just fucking fine.
And you want stuff in the yard because Scrap Heap Scrounger, you want to be able to exile something out of your graveyard to return them to the battlefield. And, of course, Walking Ballista because, hey.
That is the finisher, I guess. Like, if you are late game and you actually do have four mana in a list like this that has what in it? Has 20 lands?
20 yeah, lands.
20 lands, which is, does seem even kind of like a lot. But I guess if you are running Walking Ballista and Liliana, I guess that is kind of getting up there a little bit, but still, it's really not much, man. It's really not much at all.
And so, I mean, for removal, we have two Collective Brutalities, four Fatal Pushes, four Grasp of Darkness, three Never in Return, which is the split, or
destroy target, Planeswalker, or creature. I don't know what they're called. Aftermath cards.
Aftermath.
So, yeah, destroy target creature, Planeswalker, sorcery speed, three mana, and then the other one is like four mana. And then you can exile a target card from a player's graveyard and create a 2/2 zombie.
Right.
So that's just like, it's just a little added value, and it's just, you're already playing four of the removal spells that you want to play. So now you just have a little extra push against Gideon, either Gideon, and just to be able to take that scrap heap or whatever else out of their graveyard just to add a zombie. Like, it's nothing fantastic, but it's just that you need to, there's not enough cards to support this fucking archetype. They had to just go and put these in there. I'm sure that, you know, killing Gideon feels pretty fucking good. Especially when they have blockers and they make a 2/2 and your 1/1s can't get through. You're like, I don't give a shit. I'm just going to fucking never your Planeswalker and attack like normal. So,
and in the board we have four Gifted Aetherborn, which is the 2/3 Death Touch Lifelink. Harsh Scrutiny, which I thought was an interesting choice, which is basically...
it just takes creatures. It's Inquisition for creatures or Thoughtseize for creatures.
Yeah, and then
you scry one. Even if you miss, you still get to scry.
Which is pretty nice. We have extra,
it is nice.
Extra Liliana. We have a Scarab Feast in the board, which is the Exile. Which, I'm curious, like, was this for the mirror match? Was this just for other Scrap Heap decks?
I think it's just for fucking Scrap Heaps, dude. Like, and for Aftermath cards, maybe even. Could be yeah. That's possible for that, but like, I think it's just for, yeah, the zombie scrap heap. I think it's just for creature recursion. Oh, and Balm.
And Balm.
I mean, there's not much, I don't think there's a whole lot going on yet, except for the angel. But still, I mean, that angel is a 3/4 that can exile something. Like, you probably want to get rid of that, and so you can attack like normal and get fucking blocked by a 3/4 that you can't get through, so.
And then, of course, Transgress the Mind.
Which I'm sure just any big deck. Any deck that's playing big shit, even probably just control, you're just like, it hits pretty much everything for a mid-range plus deck, you know, mid-range slash control deck. So, I mean, dude, Transgress of Mind is a fucking amazing card, straight up. It's an amazing card.
I mean, it hits a lot of stuff, a lot of the bigger things in the vehicles deck. So it hits the Glory Bringers and the Gideons and the Heart of Kirin's.
Which it doesn't hit Heart of Kirin.
Oh, that's a Transgress, 2. My bad.
Heart of Kirin is still the card that is the hardest thing to kill. Hardest thing to get around. Because there's so much shit that is still sorcery speed, so it can't kill it. And a lot of shit is still just going to be trading with it. You know, the creatures don't have 5 toughness. And even if it did, they can still crew it with something that's going to give it +1/+1, like Dipala or Veteran Motorist. Like, and then you can still just protect your fucking Gideon because you can just move a counter off of it, even though if you don't have a rest of the board, because you can use loyalty to fucking fill that baby up. Like, that Heart of Kirin is still a absolute beast, and whenever it comes down, watching any match, it's like, ooh, this is like swinging back in this person's favor. Like, Heart of Kirin, I didn't think it was going to be this good. You know, I just didn't see crewing it to be easy, but it's so fucking easy.
Well,
that was the problem. I thought it was a super good card, but I'm like, man, I feel like you're not going to be able to crew it as much as you want. Oh, I was wrong. And you can crew it every fucking time.
Yeah, I think it just totally replaced the whatever got banned.
Yeah, Thopter, Copter.
Yeah, Thopter, Copter. And, you know, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Mardu decks in the top 8, and all of them have little variations. Some of them are running Glorybringers, Archangel Avacyns. Even one was running 2 Cultivator Caravans, which is the Mana Rock vehicle.
Yeah, 5/5. All right, so I wanted to, after this, I wanted to mention, I want to talk about Modern a little bit as well, so.
Okay, let's
wanted
do
to,
it.
I just wanted to let you know. So, yeah, I mean, we're just looking forward to, you know, we'll watch the next SCG thing, we'll watch the Pro Tour, we'll see what happens, but it does seem like that Mardu Vehicles is still going to be super strong because Gideon's not banned and Heart of Kieran's not banned, and no deck can crew Heart of Kieran like Mardu can, so that could be pretty, still a stinker, but I still think there's going to be a lot of shit that's coming out, you know what I mean? Okay, so Modern. I was listening to some, like, talk about people want, you know, like, there was a thing between James Chilcott and the professor from Tellurian Academy.
Okay.
And I don't really want to talk about that per se, but they were talking about prices of Modern and how some people think it's too expensive. Some people think it's just right because of that it's a trading card game, collector game, and, like, prices should be, some prices should be high. Like, not every card should be a dollar.
Right.
Like, if they, it's kind of one of those things of, like, if it was better, if they really wanted it to be a dollar and that would be the best thing, then they would just sell packs for fucking dirt cheap, and Eternal Masters would be $4 a pack, not 10, and all the value would go down, everyone would love to buy it. Everyone would have the cards, but then it's more like, now just everyone has the cards, and then what's the fun in that? And, like, nobody's making money. The investors aren't making money. Like, the second market, the secondary market sucks. Wizards is not making money. Like, it just seems that, like, this is a game where it's an expensive hobby. You know what I mean? It's a hobby. Like, you're not supposed to be able to have every card. And if you want to play in the first place, you still have tons of formats that you're able to go cheap. You can go casual stuff. You can go Popper. You can just go, like, budget standard and play, you know, with other budget standard decks. There's all kinds of shit you can do. Even budget commander stuff. Because yeah, commander can be super cheap because rares, there's a bunch of bulk rares that still do nearly what the other ones do, and you can have a ton of fun still. Pre-cons, you know, there's all kinds of shit that still is really effective. But they were talking about, like, what are the prices of the decks? And what would they want them to be? Like, what are they now? So I wanted to kind of ask you what you thought the prices of Modern decks were. I'm going to kind of, like, a little game we're going to play, show, okay?
I like it,
So let's start off with elves, like Collected Company elves. So it's usually Abzan, and so, it's going to be, like, black for, obviously, the finisher, the one that just deals all the damage to everyone. You
right,
know what
right,
mean?
Right.
And then white is usually for, like, Path to Exile and sideboard stuff.
Okay.
And then otherwise, it's Collected Company and Heritage Druid and all that other stuff.
So. Let's go with, fuck, that's a lot of fetches, 400.
Okay. So elves is 703 for elves. Okay. Now let's go with merfolk. So Aether Vial, all the fucking lords, Spreading Seas. Not much to do with lands, except for, I guess, there could be there's Mutavaults, and right, there probably are some of the Cavern of Souls, I think. Let me look at the list and see if there are Cavern of Souls. Probably that probably makes a difference, actually, if there are caverns. Two Cavern of Souls. It's not a full package. It's mostly islands, four Mutavault, and two caverns. And the rest of it is, like, you know, Dismember, Vapor Snag, all the lords, maybe Vendilion Quick, maybe not. Four Masters, of course, you know. So what do you think elves, or sorry, merfolk cost? By the way, this is all paper. This is not Modo. I don't want to deal with Modo.
I'm going to go with 650.
Elves, or sorry, merfolk is pretty close, 570.
570.
570. So it seems, when I get to this, it seems like kind of on the cheaper side.
Right.
It's also simple, one color, and you're not playing fetch lands. It's probably most of the difference between other things. All right, what about Ad Nauseam?
Ad Nauseam. Okay.
So Lotus Blooms, Ad Nauseam, Simian Spirit Guides. And then, let's see here, we have Pact of Negations in there. Like the Penten Prism and shit, that's obviously super cheap.
I'm
going
to go
and no fetches at all.
I'm going to go 375.
It is $600. Where'd I find that? I'm trying to look and see exactly. I remembered that right now. Oh, yeah. 602, $600.
What is the expensive cards in there?
Let's see here. Pact of Negation is very expensive. They're like $35 a piece. Simian Spirit Guide is $10 a piece now.
Okay.
So Ad Nauseam's $10 a piece. Lotus Bloom is $15 a piece. And then they have Dark Slick Shores. I think it's the black or black blue one. Those are over $10 a piece. Genstone Mine is like $7 a piece. Like, it's still just everything's $10.
Yeah.
Consider that 60 cards, $10 a card, $600. So, and then also includes sideboard stuff. So a lot of these, you know, Leyline of Sanctity is $20 a card. So that also is in there. Some of it's sideboard stuff. Figure, I'd say probably $150 in sideboard cards for most of these decks.
Okay.
You know, maybe a little cheaper. So, but I'm trying to get to this, like, it's interesting to see, like, what these really cost, you know? All right, let's say, Death Shadow. So we're talking Mishra's Bauble, which is fucking way expensive, right? Because that thing shot the fuck up. Liliana, Street Wraith, four Tarmogoyfs, four Death Shadows, Fatal Pushes, Inquisitions.
I'm gonna go $1,350.
It's pretty high. It's pretty fucking high. And it is $1,500. Yep. $1,500. It's basically because of Tarmogoyf and fetches. And Tarmogoyf fetches and Mishra's Bauble is like now. So it's like $40 a card or $50 a card.
You
like,
said so Liliana's expensive. Were in there too?
Liliana's in there too. I think only like a couple, but still. So it's expensive as shit. Like, let's be honest. That's fucking a lot. $1,500 for a fucking modern deck, dude. That's like a super low converted mana cost, like one or two for the whole thing.
And that's for one of the top tier modern decks.
It is. I think it's basically like the top right now. It's, I think we consider it like not the most played, but the most powerful right now. Most likely to hit top eight of any deck, I think. Even though it's still wide variety, I think that top eights really can't go by anymore without Death Shadow being in there.
Right.
Okay, now let's talk about Affinity. Mox Opal, all the stuff that you know what I mean? Arcbound Ravager and all that kind of crap.
I'm going to go $923.
$690. So right in the middle, like right in the, what I'm seeing kind of like an average, you know what I mean?
Right.
All right, what about Storm?
Which brand?
Just red. It's going to be just like Gifts Ungiven and Metamorphose, and then the one that you can cast everything again. It's got Pyromaster's Ascension, you know, just like, it's like the most, it's what's played today. Basically, it's changed a lot or whatever over time, but like, it's going to be four Baral, four Goblin Electromancer, so the ones that make everything cheaper, and then Gifts Ungiven, and then two Past in Flames, two Grape Shot, the rest of it is just moving shit around. There are seven fetch lands. Seven fetch lands. Like, pretty, it's pretty normal
numbers. I'm going to say $550.
Nice. That is about $500.
Okay.
So that seems like it should be a little bit cheaper. Like, even though it's got fetches, it seems like Metamorphose and Serum Visions and all that stuff shouldn't be that expensive, you know, to just tutor stuff.
Right.
All right. So I'm going to just kind of run through the list. Let's say one more, actually. Let's do one more fun one. Let's just say Jund, right? Jund, standard.
Classic Jund.
Classic Jund.
That one will be, I'm going to say $1,100.
Sir, you are wrong by the price of a deck. It is $1,700. $1,700 for Jund. We're talking, like, the expensive cards, though. Like, literally, this is the epitome. Four Liliana of the Veils, four Tarmogoyfs, four Dark Confidant, which that has also gone up, you know, bunch of fetch lands, and even like the creature lands that are expensive. I mean, there is a ton of shit in here that is expensive as fuck. Fulminator Mage in the sideboard, those are fucking $35 a piece.
Woo.
Damnation in the sideboard, Batterskull in the sideboard, Collective Brutality in the sideboard, like all this shit can't go below like $10. Nothing, you know? So yeah, $1,700 for that. I mean, even Fatal Push is, you know, that's like $6 a card.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do about that? So, yeah, that's an expensive fucking deck, dude. That is way, way expensive. Kolaghan's Command now, $15 a card. Maelstrom Pulse, as only a one of always, but it's $20 a card. Oof.
I feel
$1,700,
like,
dude.
Yeah, the 600 range is kind of what I think of when I think of a modern deck.
Yeah.
You know, about 600.
But you think that there would be cheaper ones that are top tier? And there just aren't. Like, so there's some. There's very, very few that are, like, could kind of make it. Like, the mono-green, mono-white kind of aggro-y stuff.
What about, like, a Boros Burn?
Boros Burn. What do you think? I mean, ask the question. What do you think?
I will say, $400.
It is $640.
What the fuck is in there?
So it's a little different than what you're thinking because they don't really have Boros Burn because they
it's
play
the Naya Burn.
It's Naya Burn, even though there's nothing green.
Just for Atarka's command.
Atarka's
right?
command in the sideboard.
Right.
But and also Destructive Revelry they have in the sideboard.
Okay.
But otherwise, yeah, the main deck is all red white. It's only for Boros Charm and Lightning Helix. Everything else is just red. So it's what you think. It's not like I'm, you know, I'm not like tricking you or nothing. It's Goblin right. Guide, Monstrous Swift Spear, Eidolon of the Great Revel, all the burn shit you can
see,
think of.
See, I forgot about Eidolon.
Yeah, Eidolon is, it's $50 for a playset. Goblin Glide is $70 for a playset. And then you, I mean, because it's two colors, you still play a bunch of fetches.
Right.
So you're playing hundreds of dollars in fetches. So yeah, it's $600+. So I'm going to run through the list here. So Affinity seems most popular. $690 said that. Eldrazi Tron, $650. Dredge, $500, $510. Storm, $500. Burn, $640. Death Shadow, $1,500. Grixis Death Shadow is only $1,000. But I mean, still, you're saving yourself $500 for not playing Tarmogoyf, I think. And that's probably exactly what that price is.
Yeah.
Abzan, because that also has everything expensive, is $1,600. Nightfall, which is like the Reliquary, Knight of the Reliquary and Collected Company, and kind of like the, it's kind of like a combo deck as well, where it plays Retreat to Coralhelm, that cheap ass fucking retreat from Battle for Zendikar.
Okay.
And like you're able to like sack a land, get a new land, he keeps untapping it, so basically you burn through your deck, through all the lands in your deck or whatever, and it turns your Knight of the Reliquary into like a fucking 20/20, and you just swing in.
Okay.
So there's like, it's a kind of like a mini combo deck. And it also has, no, it's pretty much it. It's just Collected Company paths and just a bunch of creatures that do good things. You know, Selfless Spirit, Scavenging Ooze, Courser, Voice Resurgence, just Abzan, just regular Abzan.
Gotcha.
But the combo is the Retreat to Coralhelm and the Four Knight of the Reliquaries. So, but yeah, that one's fucking expensive too. A lot of, you know, fetches and all that kind of shit. And just the cards are fucking expensive. Merfolk Titan Shift, you know, the Scape Shift basically.
Right.
But with Primeval Titan, that one's $600. Even Blue White Control. Blue White Control is just like, it's got like Cryptic Commands and shit like that in there, and Snapcasters, and Gideon, and it has a lot of like, has a lot of removal and cantrip type stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of control. That one is $660 also. You know, that's, and that's just like, I don't see those cards as being $660 worth, but it is. So, yeah, I just wanted to mention that, like, seeing what they really have, you know, it's everything is, every single list on here is more than $500. That is top tier. What they consider the modern metagame, without going into just budget lists that can put up results, but just cannot consistently
right.
put up results. Which would, couldn't, like I said, mono green, stompy type decks, and aristocrat type decks, or what is it? The Fruity Pebbles one, like where you have like the combo with
Cheerios.
Like, yeah, like, well, not Cheerios, but the other, there's other types of decks. Cheerios is, I think, the one that like you isn't that where you kind of like storm off with SRAM and all that kind of shit?
No, that's where you, I don't really know. It's the artifact zero.
Anyway,
artifact
it, consider
one.
That all those ones that have that serial name, I think, are all artifact-based combo decks.
Gotcha.
And they're pretty cheap, but they're not reliable. They're like, you have to have the pieces, and you win on the spot, or you just don't do anything the whole game. So those ones are cheap, but those don't put up results like these ones. So metagame's really just saying that you got to spend $500 no matter what to play a good modern deck. And that's expensive. And up to $1,700.
Yeah. $1,700. I mean, even, you know, I'm not sure what exactly my 8-rack's at, but it's definitely up there, you know. I mean, just with the Lilianas and the Bobs, you know, that's, it's like $600 right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, your deck is expensive. And then my zombie deck isn't that bad, but some of those cards still are $20 a piece, and I'm still playing fetches, you know, and I'm still playing Fatal Pushes, and I'm still playing Liliana too. So it's not on your level, because I'm not playing four of some of this stuff, but
right.
it still cost me like $450 or something just for this fucking fun, not competitive zombie list.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of those things were just like cons fetches. I can use those instead of, you know, just straight up doing
off-color
it's green fetches. Black, so I'm not straight up just doing Vernet Catacombs. You don't need to because there's only just two colors. You can use whatever fucking fetch land you want, basically.
Right.
As long as it's got black in it. Then you can find one of my two shock lands and then call it a day, basically. So, but modern's fucking expensive, dude. And you want to like save up some money and buy a modern deck, and all you have is the one deck.
Yeah,
and that's like even though that's super pretty to look at and super fun, like that's an expensive game.
Yeah, and I mean that's like it's kind of has. I mean, for people like us, it kind of has like that legacy feel to it, where it's like. A lot of people, they just play what they want to play, and then they just get really good at that one deck, and then they just know their matchups. You know, it's not like they have a full gauntlet of other decks to play, and that's kind of what we have. It's where, you know, we slowly, over time, put together this expensive, or at least to us expensive, expensive deck, and then you just tune it to the fucking meta, and you know your matchups, you know what you're good against, you know what you're bad against, you know your outs for certain things, and... you know, it's what you got. I'm not about to, like... You know, I built Boros Burn, a little bit cheaper version than the list we were just going over. But still, that's, like, you know, a cheap version of that deck, and that's still, like, a couple $100.
Yes. So, Standard, briefly, we'll go over. And Standard is, even though it's expensive, it's significantly cheaper.
Right.
Across the board. Mardu Vehicles is $350. And I'm sure there could be a little bit of wiggle room in all this stuff because Standard just has more flexibility, I feel like, for some of that stuff. Not more, but just, like, the power level's not so swingy, you know? Right. Some of the cards are a little easier to move around. Delirium, $380. The Torrential Gearhulk, like, just blue-red control, like, tower control type stuff, $200. Ulamog, like, Aetherwork Marvel decks are $200. Black-Green Energies, $230. Like the mono black aggro decks with like zombies and stuff like that, and Dread Wanderers and all that stuff, that's $200. Even, you know,
that's like, you know, I think that's what Standard should be, is like a good 200, and then maybe like the most popular is like
three or four at the most. Yeah,
you know, I agree. The days of the $700 fucking Vryn Prodigies decks is,
yes,
I'm glad those days are behind us, because exactly. I was, you know, that's silly.
Yep.
That is very silly that anybody was willing to pay that price.
It seems like you can get by with like a fun Standard deck that is like semi-competitive, just like a budget build, but still can actually do some work for in the range of like $50 to $100. You could still play like a cool combo type thing, or Panharmonicon, or, you know, like a mono white like tokens deck, or that SRAM combo one with like Paradoxical Outcome and returning everything and like kind of storming off a little bit. That one's like $50-$60. Playing what is this one? Like an Eldrazi deck right now is about $50. Like Eldrazi hasn't really gone up that much, the Standard stuff. You know, Thought Not Seer is still
$5.
Yeah, whatever, you know, $7, $6. So yeah, that's where we're sitting. I can't really talk about Commander or Legacy or any of that stuff, because that stuff is like way swingy, I'm pretty
sure.
Yeah,
that's
Legacy just, doesn't matter. You just need to know that it's fucking expensive.
Yeah, Commander is all the Commander has a lot more flair than other or at least in my opinion, has a lot more flair than other formats. Whereas when I'm building the Standard deck, like if there's, I don't know, let's say like a Duress or a Negate, I'm just going to get like whatever the cheapest one is. I don't care about the fucking art or anything like that.
Yeah.
But if I'm building a Commander deck, I want to pick out the coolest art.
Because you're only buying one.
Yeah, because it's just a one-of. So I'm like, oh, that fucking Grave Pact. Yeah, I'm buying that fucking cool one with all the fucking ghosts on it and shit. Not like, you know, one that's been printed more recently. So I think there's a little bit more pimpness to
I think... Commander, I think a good price in my mind is $200. I think $200 you can get away with having a really fun Commander deck. I know that you're missing out on some things, but I think that you can get away with playing a bunch of lands that are not going to fucking break your bank, no fetches and shit like that. And like Reflecting Pools and stuff like that are good, and they're not even that expensive. And some commanders are monocolored, so that's cheap too. And you could have just, you know, a few cards that are kind of staple-ish, like maybe you do need like Rhystic Study in there, you know, you do need Soul Ring, You do need cards that are still, you know, a few dollars, whatever. But a lot of the stuff, I feel like you don't need to push. You don't need to have the 4/6 draws you a bunch of cards.
Yeah, you don't need the Sphinx.
That card is dope, but like, I don't think you need that to have a fun commander game.
Yeah.
You know?
And so. I like finding alternative cards to the staples. I believe on one of the commander casts, they were talking about like alternatives to the staples. Because when you think blue deck, you always think Sphinx. When you think green deck, you always think, you know, whatever. I can't even think of like a fucking staple.
Thraktusk.
Green.
No, yeah, I don't know.
Or Harmonize. Or I don't know. Fucking
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something that's actually played. But yeah, you have all these, specifically in blue, you have a lot of staples like Cyclonic Rift and, what'd you say, Rhystic Study, the one that they have to pay for. So
like Propaganda.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that maybe even.
So I like thinking outside the box for Commander, and that makes it sometimes cheaper. So, anything else we got this week?
Nah, I just wanted to mention some prices. That kind of shocked me a little bit, even though, you know, I shouldn't be shocked. It's still just like, man, they get up to $1,700 for a fucking Modern deck. I didn't think that it just would even go that high. I just didn't think about that Modern could be that expensive for a deck. That with all the reprints and, I don't know, I just felt like, I felt like if you just put all the expensive cards together, you couldn't build a deck. And sure as shit, you know, you play Jund or Abzan or Death Shadow, you know, which are all pretty similar cards, Liliana and Tarmogoyfs and shit. You're getting up there, man. You're getting way fucking up there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I guess just fetches in general,
you know,
they're expensive too. Even if with the reprint, it doesn't really matter. They're still expensive, so.
I'll drive the price up,
take
definitely.
That.
So we'll have to save my Kefnet brew for next week. I know everyone's just pining to hear about it. It's the grindiest shit this side of Grindsville,
Grindstone.
USA. Yeah, this side of Grindstone. So that's it for episode 109 of If Lands Could Kill. All of our shit's in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter most of the time. And like Hot Sauce said, send us some shit on Twitter, stuff that you watched.
I want to see funny videos.
Internet sensations.
Not Chocolate Rain. Not shit like that. Like, so get some good shit.
Not the double rainbow.
Not the double rainbow shit. That's just little. That's a little flash
anything
in the pan.
On fucking Tosh.0 or what's that shitty ripoff? Ridiculous.
Fucking, yeah, ridiculousness.
Yeah. Nothing from there.
Nothing from there. I don't need people like crashing. I don't care about that. I do, you know what? I say that. I love the one where the guy's trying to shovel snow and he can't get his footing. That one actually does get me every time because I'm not even sure if that's fake or not, but he is all over the
place. I like
place.
The one where the dad is picking his like daughter up from school or something and he's just like parked right on the corner and he's parked right in front of this like patch of ice. And so these kids are like, it's right across the street from the school. So these kids are walking by and they just keep eating shit. And the dad just laughing. Like these kids could like be breaking arms and shit. He's just like having a good old time laughing at them.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Like
so
little pudgy kids like trying to get their fucking, you know, catch their balance and stuff. It's awesome.
I haven't seen that one. But yeah, send us that. Also go on iTunes. Even if you don't use iTunes or if you have it on your damn computer, fucking give us a review. Because I don't have any other way. I mean, I appreciate you guys going on Twitter or Facebook and saying, like, you know, and giving us feedback there. But people are not going to see those except for those 3 hours. If you put a review in a place that'll there forever, that means that when people come to see, you know, never heard of us, they want to see if they want to give it a listen. Give them the facts, bro. Give them the facts. We're fucking dirty. We are almost funny. We're just, you know... We're for a small group, but we want to expand that small group because there's a lot of people out there like us.
We also got, I'm not sure if it was a comment or an email or we got it somewhere. I just got some notification through email. And basically the comment said, this is the best podcast to listen to while getting a blowjob.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think that it could easily be a slogan of ours. So
if we could stay on MTG Cast.
Yeah.
Hashtag magic and hash sucks.
All right, well, that's it. I'm Knife City.
And I'm So and Crow. And I'm Hot Sauce.
And we will catch you guys next time.